B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Good morning, everybody. Happy, happy Thursday to all across the Delaware Valley. So, today we'll talk Eagles-Ravens. We're going to talk Carson Wentz and our weekly evaluation of the quarterback. We will also talk about trades at the deadline and something that's kind of making some steam among Eagle fans, which is the scary notion of blowing it up. But first, I got to start with this. And I'm going to preface this whole thing by saying, look, I'm not an epidemiologist. I'm not a doctor. I'm not telling anyone to do anything. All right? This is completely apolitical. All right? You do whatever you see is right. I don't want anybody telling me what to do, so I'm not telling you guys what to do. I don't espouse any of my beliefs on you every day. We can have a dialogue. I can tell you what I'm thinking, but I'm not one to be a preacher in that sense. I need to start off, and I got to just say, I'm worried. Now, I don't know what the answer is, but I'm getting a little worried. Now, there was a report today out of Schefter that the Falcons facility has been shut down due to multiple positive tests. He then came back and said there was one. So I don't know. I don't know if that's a false alarm, if it's one of those deals where, you know, it's all precaution because we got to take precaution here, and they shut it down. But I don't know. I do know what I read about the University of Florida, which has 19 players test positive for coronavirus. I do know that Alabama coach Nick Saban tested positive for coronavirus. I do know what I read that in Europe, they are getting a second wave of the virus. There are over 100,000 cases a day, and there's a curfew in Paris. London is making several kind of changes to its reopening policy. And in Spain, they're shutting down restaurants. So, you know, and we have been, you know, 4 to 6 weeks or 3 to 5 weeks behind them when it comes to the virus and waves. And I don't have any answers, right? All I know is I'm worried. I'm worried about everybody. All right. Again, I always say this, but it's true. I come from a family of worriers. My mother was an all-star worrier. My Aunt Cookie was an all-star worrier. My grandmother, Grandma Minnie, she was an all-star worrier. So, you know, I got the gene. The gene is the worry gene. And it's less, you know, again, I think we all know, you know, I'm not the most take care of myself kind of person, right? So I'm not like worried for myself more than I worry about all the people, and I worry about kids, and I worry about the teachers, and I worry about all these people. And I like happiness among the masses. I've always preferred the happy conversations, whether it be Eagles Super Bowl or a Phillies run or a Sixers hope or a Flyers big time run, whatever it is, I like it. So this is where I'm coming from. I'm not coming from the left. I'm not coming from the right. I'm just coming at it from, I'm worried about you guys. And I'm worried about the whole thing. Now, I profess to have no answers. All right? Like, I'm not telling you anything. All I'm telling you is we can read the tea leaves, right? We can read the tea leaves, what's going on. And you see the positive cases. And you can tell me all you want. It doesn't matter. And it's, you know, the flu kills more people. I mean, and that all may be so, right? You know, again, half the things I don't even know what to believe anymore. But beyond all that, we do know that it's probably not something that you want to get unless you're, you know, in tip-top shape and you're 25 and whatever. But if you have people around you that you care about, you know, I just don't want to take any chances, right? Like, I know, I see the numbers. I'm sure that the kids will be fine, that my two sons will be good. But why do I want to take a risk? I don't want to roll dice with my Anthony and my Massimo. And I don't want to roll dice with your kids or your parents. Right? Why roll dice? It's unnecessary. But I understand that we can't shut down again. We got to have the economy roll, man, because it's the fallout's worse than the virus itself, it appears, right? So there's got to be this happy medium. But I am worried and concerned, and is it the right time to open up a stadium? Is it the right time to get, you know, have masses of people gathered together? I love a party. I love it. I love everybody getting together. I'm a people person, right? But, and I'm tired of the whole damn thing too. I haven't done anything. I didn't even go to the shore, right? So I get it. I'm the same way. And I'm a creature of the bars and restaurants and, you know, it's tough. But right now, when I look at sports and I look at all the stuff going on, you know, my instincts and my gut tell me that we got to, you know, not turtle up, but we got to be smart over the next 3 to 5 months, right? Get through the winter and then come out of spring and then, you know, hopefully everything's good. We get back outdoors and everything will be so much better and so much rosier and we'll be that much closer to a universal vaccine. So that's where my head's at. And then I start thinking about sports and I start thinking about how I've approached every football game. And I guess it's in the back of my mind that at some point it could end and it could end prematurely. And so I realized that I'm watching these games, the Tuesday night football and the Monday night football, and I'm watching these games almost cherishing the game because it could end at any moment. Now, I don't know how you guys feel about it. It's weird because while I've been enjoying the NFL and almost cherishing the NFL, college football, I'm a huge college football man, I've been semi, this is bogus. I feel like it's bogus. What conference are playing, what conference not playing, the whole thing. Whereas the NFL, I don't really think is bogus, but do you guys think it's bogus? Do you guys think, and Darius Slay said, I don't even know why we're playing. I got to ask you guys a question about it. With all the, you know, this facility shutting down and a game on Tuesdays, much as I love it, but, you know, pushing games to the end, is it a bogus? Is there a bogusness about it? The bubble, is there a bogusness? Was there a bogusness about baseball and basketball? And I want to start with this conversation and pick your brains. First, I'll pick Chunas and see what he has to say. Good morning, Chunas.
Hey, Ant, what's going on, man?
How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, I'm here. Again, you know.
We had a social distance dinner last night.
Yes, we did. It was a nice time yesterday. Beautiful night.
Yes, we did. Yeah. It was gorgeous outside, social distance.
Yeah, enjoyed it. Enjoyed it a lot. Yeah, I mean, right now it's.
And listen, it goes back to like, I love it. I love that. Mm-hmm. Like, I wanted to go in a bar and hang out until 3 o'clock in the morning.
Right, exactly. But.
Right.
Can't do it right now. You know, so you got to do it. All sort of precautions. Got to be smart, follow protocols, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's weird right now. I'll say it right away, you know, and I just like putting this out there. I'm not going to a sporting event. But it's also because I'm married to a nurse, right, who works in the intensive care unit, who deals with COVID patients and also deals with patients that are just there that are sick or that are injured that don't have COVID. So God forbid I get it. I give it to her. We don't know about it. She then gives it to the patient, right? And then that person who's already bedridden for another reason then has COVID, and that could be the final straw for that person. So I'm not going to a game because of that. If I was single and, you know, a bachelor and living my best life, maybe I would. I don't know yet. I don't know how I would feel. I kind of look at it from a different perspective because of who I'm married to. I'm not about to rip anyone that does want to go to a game, but it is something that I still question. And like you said at the very beginning, is it really smart to have mass gatherings right now? Now, so far, week one, then when Kansas City had fans, a person tested positive in the stands, and I didn't see any follow-up. I don't think anyone else in that section got it, because you are supposed to wear your mask. You're supposed to follow all the protocols at the games themselves. So hopefully, because it's been 5 weeks now, and there have been other games where fans have been allowed in the stadiums, I haven't heard about any mass breakouts yet. Now, I thought it was absolutely stupid that the Tennessee Titans allowed fans in their stadium the other day. The Titans just had a game postponed and then played on a Tuesday because they had multiple players. They had 23 members of their staff and players test positive. And then they allowed fans in the stadium? Like, to me, that's dumb. To me, that's just, you shouldn't do that. If some cities are handling it better than others, I say go for it. But that, to me, was just, you know, ludicrous. You just had 23 people test positive, and now you're opening up the stadium? What are you doing, Tennessee?
Yeah, I you know, that sort of thing.
I mean, we're talking about not just everyday people's health. We're also talking about the state of the league. What if that game got postponed again? That's then 2 weeks, right?
I know.
And now we're talking about competitive imbalances and whether or not the league is bogus. You know, the Eagles played a team coming off of a COVID bye, and the Eagles played that team well. Who knows what could have happened if that team didn't have that COVID bye?
I know. I feel the same way. I just look at it and I go, I don't know what to think. I just don't know what to think. Is it worth, like, right now, it's funny. And I saw the same thing. Well, it hasn't resulted, people gathering in earlier hasn't really resulted in anything. But then you realize that it takes a while, like there's a lag period.
Yeah, like 4 or 5 days.
Right, or more than that. There's a lag period when the whole thing happens, right? Like, we know the story, right? Hey, summertime, you're outdoors, it's natural. The colder it gets, the more indoors we become. You know,
even if you're
out in a stadium, you're still, you know, you throughout the course of the week, your things change. And the more and the colder it gets, and the deeper we get in the fall, I just think common sense goes, well, why push it for 7,500 fans, right? Like, I don't know. Again, and I could be completely wrong on this thing. You know, I just want to get, I want to get to the holidays, right? Without some bad kind of thing that's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, this year's going to be weird regardless, especially come holidays. It's not going to be the same. We were having a conversation yesterday with someone about, you know, Thanksgiving. Are there going to be people traveling to see their families? I know, I told you about it. I have an Easter tradition where I go up to my cousin's house the day before Easter. And then, you know, we have a good night the night before. We get up early for Easter Sunday. You know, that was canceled pretty much. It's probably going to happen again this year. Those Thanksgiving traditions that you have, your touch football games, or your tackle football games, all that stuff, may get canceled this year. Because who knows what kind of, you know, if you could travel and all this kind of stuff. So, yeah, it's a weird time right now. It is interesting to allow fans back. Like, I still find it interesting. Now, I'm not going to say you're crazy if you want to go. Just be smart. Be smart when you go.
I'm not the people police, right? So, hey, God bless. Do whatever you want. I've always been a fan of don't tell me what to do. Leave me alone. All right? That's my government deal is just leave me alone. Right? Like, that's kind of always looked at it. Beyond now, all that stuff. This is just, I care about it. We care about our region and everyone. And I don't know. I could be completely, you know, wrong on the whole thing. But here's the thing. Do you look at it like this? If you don't have fans and nothing happens, isn't it still good that everybody's healthy? You don't look at it like, oh, see, we missed an opportunity to go to a football game. You know what I mean?
You know, I don't look at it that way. I go, hey, I was able to watch the game, period.
What's the point? Like, risk-reward, right? Isn't there such a thing as risk-reward? Like, what's the biggest reward? You going to a game? All right, well, that's good. And I'm all for going to a game, but is it necessary? Like, people's jobs are necessary, which is why you can't lock down.
Right,
right?
Of course.
People have to work, which is why you can't lock down.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what happens to the restaurant industry. I'm worried about, you know, we do a show every Wednesday before Thanksgiving at the Reading Terminal Market.
Yep.
I talked to people at the Reading Terminal Market this week, and it's a sin what's going on there. It's a sin, which is, you know, vendors have to close.
Right.
The market's bare. And the problem is like, you know, how do you have a Reading Terminal Market without crowds?
Right. I mean, I had somebody actually reach out to me last week, one of our, you know, big listeners, name's Alex. And he's like, hey, I was thinking of coming up. He's actually down in Carolina. He was thinking about coming up. He comes to Fan Fest all the time for that broadcast. He's like, do you know anything about it right now? I was like, I don't.
I know.
I don't know if we're going to be Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving.
I'm hoping we can do it.
Right.
I'm hoping. And I think the Reading Terminal Market, which is which I love and is a Philadelphia treasure, I'm worried about the future of the market. Right? You're worried about the future of it.
Yeah.
And all those stores on 9th Street, right, in Center City, all the stores, you know, without people, without crowds, it just kills them.
Yeah. That's why you can't totally shut down.
Exactly. But a place like the Reading Terminal Market, how do you have business without crowds, right? That place, I mean, it's the greatest thing in the world. It feels like the holiday.
You go there at lunchtime? My God, it's awesome.
I love it. And I love the Wednesday before Thanksgiving is my favorite day.
Yep.
It is. It's awesome. There's people. It's festive and Thanksgiving and Christmas around the corner and, you know, all the holidays and the lights. And I love Center City. Like, to me, it's funny. I could never be in some warm climate or abroad or whatever. I know some people go to Hawaii for Christmas. Like,
you don't want palm tree Christmas.
I could never do that. Like to me, it's different. If you grew up, like, in Florida, that's where you grew up at. But you grew up around here, you know, Center City is the greatest, like Macy's and Christmas Village and all that. Packed crowds. Like, what happens to all that?
Yeah, no, you'll see crowds, but it won't be the same. Now, I have a question that I want to ask. I guess it's more for the audience because, you know, you already said it. You're watching every single game, cherishing every single game as if it's the last one, right? I want to take you back to a tweet, and forgive me, I forget the person's name, but there was a tweet that we got before the season started. And because there was a lack of buzz before the NFL season, 2 weeks, and even the week of, right? We finally got the buzz the Thursday before the Eagles-Washington football team game. And you asked, like, where is that buzz? And somebody responded saying, it's hard for me to get excited for something not knowing whether it's going to be the last one. Like, that person said, I could watch one football game and it could be done. So why should I get so excited for it? And I wonder if there's people that are still like that.
I do think there's a lot of people like that.
Because I'm like you. I was watching Bills Titans Tuesday Night Football, locked in.
I think there are a lot of people like
that. But I wonder if there's people who are like, you know what? I can't get super. Why bother getting so excited? Why bother putting so much attention to this team knowing, and it doesn't help that the Eagles are 1-3-1, but football in general, knowing that it could be the final week?
I agree. All right, well, let's find out what people have to say about that. Obviously, we'll talk Eagles, and we're going to do a Carson thing, and what do you do with the deadline? That's all on the docket. But I'm curious about how you're handling this thing and the fear of another wave or a second wave, however you want to look at it, that appears to be growing. It's Cuz Radio with Tunis right here, 97.5, the Fanatic.
Anthony!
That's right. The Farmer's Almanac is predicting a rough winter. Oh, I hate that. It says our area will be, quote, seasonably wet, cold, and white. So if you're having any minor issues with your roof, now's the time to call Anthony LaRusciano and get it checked before the rain and wintry mix of ice and snowy weather causes more damage to your old roof. That's right. Anthony LaRusciano will personally assess your roof and repair it right the first time. If you need a new roof, rest assured you're dealing with the best. Check out LaRusciano's hundreds of five-star Google reviews, a five-star certainty shingle master, which means you can get the best warranty in the business. 50 years on the shingles, 25 years on the workmanship. Look, your home's roof, just too important to trust with some dude, right? Like, oh, I got some dude who does roofs. Nah. Go with the only roofing expert I recommend, LaRusciano Roofing. Here's the number, 610-265-ROOF. Or go to paroofpros.com. That's paroof, R-O-O-F, pros, P-R-O-S.com. My friend, Anthony LaRusciano, the shingle master.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
You can't get away from anything, and nor should you, but I give you the Wall Street Journal alert on my phone. Why COVID-19 is spreading again. Fatigue, colder weather, eased restrictions. And it's just all about how numbers are going up and going up and going up. Just be careful. Let's talk about it, how it relates to sports. And speaking of sports and speaking of football, Le'Veon Bell, according to reports, has narrowed down his teams to three of them. You ready, Tunis?
What do we got?
You want to guess?
Patriots?
Incorrect.
Huh. Are they three winners right now? Seahawks?
Incorrect.
See, I didn't get the Carson, whatever.
They're all AFC teams.
Really?
Yes.
He's not going to go back to Pittsburgh.
Incorrect.
Buffalo.
Yes, correct. Okay,
him and Stephon Diggs, Josh Allen, be a nice little group.
Yeah, because Singletary needs another back.
Right. All right, so Buffalo. Kansas City's got to be one of them.
Yes, yeah. The Chiefs.
And then would he go Baltimore?
Nah, Miami's the last one.
Miami, okay. Yeah.
So he's narrowed his choices to Kansas City, Buffalo, Miami. That's where Le'Veon Bell.
Why does he want to come here, Ant? We're half game out of first place.
I asked you the question. You and I were just talking about it. And I said, would you? Would you be a seller at the deadline? That's just sends shudders down your spine.
It's scary that we're having this conversation.
Seller.
It depends who. Like I'm at the point, and you know, it's you and I had this conversation a lot before guys like Yannick Ngakoue were moved and all these players, and we got into the Zach Ertz conversation, and I did not want to move him this season, going into the season, because my biggest thing was he is still the guy that Carson Wentz really depends on. And through 5 weeks, that doesn't seem to be the case anymore. You know, it's not like he's locking his eyes on Ertz every single play. He's not zeroing in on Ertz. He's not going to Ertz in the big moments. Remember, the big fourth and four against the 49ers, he went to John Hightower. He didn't go to Zach Ertz. And that interception, I think it was a legal contact, but his effort on that play was just awful. It was soft. A cornerback chips him, and he flies all over the place.
I know.
So I go, yo, dude, you're getting in verbal altercations with Howie Roseman in front of people. And I know a lot of Eagles fans want to have verbal altercations with Howie at this point, but you can't do that in front of your players, in front of your teammates, because you're upset about contract stuff when you're not George Kittle. You're not Travis Kelce.
No, how many times I say that, and people get mad, but it's like, dude, it'd be an honest appraisal.
Right.
He's like Ertz.
I do too.
But I'm not giving Ertz that kind of money.
But he's having a bad season right now. And listen, I'm not. Fletcher Cox has been a name that's been brought up a lot by Eagles fans. I think he does a lot more than what people see. I mean, he's taking on double teams every single
time.
That's helping out.
No, Fletcher Cox is a great player.
Yeah.
I mean, without a doubt. But here's the thing.
Makes a lot of money.
Is it all about what you're offered? I don't think teams offer you anything for Zach Ertz.
Would you take a third round pick for Ertz?
Wow. Would you get a third round pick? I got to believe you'd get a third round pick.
If a team's
I got to go through the teams that need tight end.
Right. If they're desperate enough. I mean, because he's still a good player.
He is. But again,
he's not
that position
elite is
not, you know, if you're a corner, you got value.
Yes.
But there's a million tight ends. Let's be real about it. There's more good tight ends. Like, you look at Jonnu Smith from the Titans.
Right.
You know, he's not Kelce, and he's probably not Ertz, but he's good. He's good enough. You know, there's a lot of tight ends out there. It's not a barren position. It's not a position you pay for.
Yeah, that big Monday night touchdown, Ebron down the field, you know,
it's
all over the place.
And it's not a position you pay for.
Unless it's George Kittle and
Travis
Kelce.
Pay for with draft choices, high draft choices. All right, let's get to the phone lines. Aaron in West Philly. Aaron, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Aaron!
It's been reality rough radio the last 3 days, man.
What's happening, baby? I know.
What's going
sucks,
on? It's reality, but it's rough, man. It's rough. Because I've been listening to you all week. I ain't have a chance to call. But just to go, the way you broke down the draft, I mean, how the Philly teams are drafting and who's in charge. And, oh, my God, only bright spot look like the Flyers that gets good young players and develop them. And it's, man, what happened to the world in the 20s? Then the corona, the COVID stuff, man, it's just bad times right now.
Yeah.
That you got to make use of and try to glimmer on some hope on something. So the hope is one of our teams is good enough to win something or to have us interested. And it just don't look good, Ant, man. Maybe I'm a sourpuss right now, but that's the way I'm saying it.
I agree.
I mean, it's bad. But let me ask you a question. How is the NBA so protected from this virus? Hockey looked like it was protected. And baseball looked like it's protected. Why is there such a problem in football?
Well,
Well,
a couple of things. It's, you know, the NBA and NHL had a bubble, right?
The bubble,
the bubble was a huge deal because, A, once they played the five games, it wasn't the whole league. And once you played the five games and you started playing series, you start eliminating people, right? So then right. people start to go home. So the bubble's a huge deal. Baseball was able to survive because of the hot weather, right? And it was able to and it had some scares. But football, you're just dealing with so many more people. I mean, think about how many people involved in a football team as opposed to a baseball team. Over 100 more people are involved in football.
Right. So shouldn't they get tested more? And
I mean, they test.
You know, and stuff like that. I mean, there's the precautions, it seems like.
They test. I mean, I don't think it's a matter of testing. I just think, and I don't think the bubble is plausible unless you did a playoff bubble. But you can't do a whole league bubble.
Right, that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
So I just hope they don't shut the ball down. But what do you? I don't know. Just like you.
I think they wind up playing through it. It might be ugly at times.
Right.
I could see it. Like, it's all going to be a matter of the players, right? If it gets worse publicly, like if the numbers rise and rise and rise, there could be a point where the players go, "Yo, guys, you know, the whole country is knee deep into this pandemic, and we're still playing." I mean, that could happen, but otherwise, I think they try to bore through it.
And off the beat question: do you think some of this stuff is political?
Yeah, I do. I think
there's a lot of politics in this thing, man.
There is. However, I don't think that the virus itself, right? I do believe that the virus
is real
and right. dangerous to some people. I do right. think it's manipulated by both sides.
Right.
You know, I mean, they're taking that the pandemic and trying to politicize it on both sides because it's an election year. But right. I do think it's real.
Yeah, me too.
And my gut tells me, you know, why take any extraordinary risk for what? For work,
yeah,
yes.
True.
You know, again, for people's work, without a doubt. But anything that is superfluous, no.
Yeah, but people work in stadiums. People work, you know, behind the scenes of football. They got to work too. So
yeah, but
everybody.
You know what?
Though,
going to a game, they are, and it sucks, dude. I'm with you. It blows. But you know, certain things like going to the movie theater or going to a football game. You know, I don't know.
Is yeah, it worth I don't know.
It? Like, you know, certain things you got to ask yourself. Is that worth it? Like,
have you been out to a restaurant?
We went last night, first time in forever.
Yeah, I've been going to restaurants. I work every day, man. Yeah. I mean, I just got to do what I got to do and just.
No, I hear you. And it's up to everybody to make their own judgment call, man. I don't believe in this. You have to do X or Y. I think as long as you're respectful to others. And you wear a mask because that's respect for other people, whether you believe it or not. You got to wear your mask. But other than that, you do whatever you want, man. I'm not telling you what you're going to do.
There's some crazy times, ain't it?
It is.
We wasn't talking like this last year. We was all full of hope.
I know, I know.
You know, we're going to have good teams, man. Now it's a whoa. But it's going to get better.
It will. Listen, be safe out there, my brother. Thank you as always. But, you know, I think it's obvious that it's being manipulated on both sides due to the election. But that all aside, your wife works as a nurse, as an RN. I mean, she'll tell you it's real.
Yeah. That's why, you know, sometimes when people make stupid comments like, oh, it's not that big of a deal. Like, you know, you don't know the conversations that I had for, like, when it was really bad. Those 3 months.
Right.
You know, she saw a lot more than, it's not, you're not in a hospital. Right. Like, we had to call her last week when we were talking about opening up the stands, the stadium. And he said, there's too many people that are scared out there. And it's like, you don't word it that way. Like, I get what that guy was saying. Like, I'm still living my life to what I think is the safest way. Like, I'm doing outdoor dining. Right. Like, I do outdoor dining probably once a week with my wife.
Right. Now, that was the first time I was out. No.
Yeah.
It's different for me because I got the little one. So, you know.
Yeah, it's just me and her.
I'm not bebopping around.
Got the dog and the cat.
Like I used to. But I mean, certain things you got to go, like go to movies. I love the movie. I love going to the movie theater.
Right.
Love it. But you're going to be inside. Like, what's the purpose of it? When you can just go be at home and watch a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel bad because you want to support certain things, but...
Yeah, like, I feel bad for the movie theater industry. A lot of them are going to be shutting down.
But, you know, it is what it is.
But you could also say that that was also,
I get my
also
I can
happening.
Watch my Adam Sandler on the at home.
Yeah. All these Netflixes and all the other services. I mean, you know... You got to be, I guess, smart. And I know that you're right. People try to find a way to turn into politics and all that stuff. And that's not the conversation we're having today.
Well, no, today.
At all.
Today is just, and it has to do with sports and how you view this season. Like, how are you viewing this football season? Steven, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Steve, hey!
What up, cuz? How's it going today?
What's happening, my brother?
I tell you what, I look forward to Sundays, and I'm an Amazon driver, and so I can't really watch the games. So I listen to them on the radio, and it's the last couple games. At this point, I mean, I know that they're doing bad. I mean, I have faith, but I just turned it off because I just can't really listen to Carson being Carson and not throwing the ball when he's under pressure, throwing it out of the way so he's not getting sacked. And it's tough right now.
Well, but Carson played well on Sunday.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a big Carson guy. You know, I love Carson. I love Foles when he was here too, but I'm a bigger Carson fan than I am Foles. And it's just hard out here.
It's
Eagles
what?
Right now.
We'll say again,
it's hard out here. It's hard to be an Eagles fan right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, unfortunately, they're not as good as we thought they would be. You know, none of us really thought that this was a Super Bowl year. Nobody thought that. You just hoped that they could. And quite frankly, I thought the Cowboys would win the division. I didn't realize how bad your defense is. But, you know, I mean, I don't think this one, I still don't think this is a Carson issue. I think this goes beyond that. And he showed you last week. He played well. And we'll get into, you know, our Carson weekly evaluation today and how you feel about him. But there's a lot of people now, and this is the thing that's gaining a groundswell, that they just want to blow the whole thing up.
Yeah, I could buy that too.
So you're in favor of that? Would you do that? Would you trade Carson in the right trade?
No, I still think he's your franchise. I still believe he's going to be the franchise quarterback.
All right. Yeah, I mean, I do too, but there's a lot of people, and we'll tell you a story. There's a lot of Eagle fans thinking, well, maybe I'll get a slew of draft picks and just push the reset button. Sound the alarms, as we do here on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, buddy. Be safe, my man. Let's go to Stanton. Big Stanton.
Hey. Anthony, I was in the hospital. That's why I didn't call you.
Oh, no. You're right, buddy?
Yeah, I just had some kidney stones. They're a little painful, but...
Oh, okay.
You know me, from the old boxing days, I don't feel pain, so... But they did hit you in the kidneys.
Yeah, that's tough, man. That's going to be tough. That is not fun.
No. But anyway, yeah, the Eagles... Problem is, we got nobody in the line. Our draft picks stink. You know what I mean? You see Lamb running around with Dallas, but we took the other guy. You know, hard to believe.
Yeah, well, we chronicled a lot of the draft picks yesterday, and I mean, it's pretty grisly.
Yes.
When you look at all three of those teams, and you go back 5 years, and you wonder, because remember, you don't go back yesterday when you're trying to figure out where you're at today. You got to go back 5 years. So you go back 5 years. Now, it's great. They got a Super Bowl. But was that Super Bowl just a happenstance? Kind of a fortunate happenstance? Because it doesn't appear to be sustaining.
No, that team was much better. Had a good running game. You know, remember when we get in a little funk, Blunt would run it up the middle, for 12,
yeah.
20 yards, take half the team with him.
Yeah.
We had a toughness.
Yeah.
Where I don't see that.
I agree with that. Yeah, now, well, they're different, and the line is older, right?
Yeah.
And the defense, they had better linebackers.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I mean, hungry dogs run faster, but old dogs run a little slower.
Yeah.
we got nobody in the pipeline, you know what I mean? We should. Our draft, Howie's just ridiculous. He thinks he's the smartest guy in the room, goes against the experts.
Yeah.
Hard to believe.
I hear you, buddy. Listen, you hang in there. Be safe, all right, man?
Hey, I'm still lighting candles.
All right, good.
I'm starting to go to the synagogue. Maybe I'll hit the Baptist after this.
Yes. All the denominations, my man.
I hear you. We need it.
Yeah, you got that right, buddy. Thanks, Stan. I gave Stan, and he likes to light a candle every day. And we were lighting a candle for the sports landscape.
Yeah, a lot more than candles at this point.
Yeah, so he ran through the Catholic churches. He's in the Jewish synagogues. He's about to hit the Baptist churches. Speaking of Baptist church, that church near your house?
Oh, yeah, beautiful.
That church is beautiful, yeah. Man.
Thanks for the ride
yesterday. I picked the Tunis up in his Manny Young's, you know, abode.
You avoided the hills as much as you could. You enjoy those hills?
Yeah, no, I mean, we'll talk about it. It's a great, it's nice. That church is beautiful, by the way. All right, listen, I'm going to be a little bit later on tonight, be at Parks Street Road Bend Salem. And if you can't get up, because the sports book is fabulous, right? It's a great place. If you can't get it to the sports book, you can get it at home. Just download parkscasino.com, download the app. Right there at parkscasino.com/PA. Use a promo code FANATIC and you'll get a risk-free bet up to $500. So, like we do every day when we talk about Parks Casino and the great sportsbook app, we check out the numbers. And we check out the numbers for Sunday. And as we check them out, let's take a look. The birds, yeah. Still looking at 7.5. So they're, if you look at it, I have it up here right now. It's at least moved a little bit in the birds' favor because you had to lay higher juice with Baltimore. Now it's back to -110 apiece at 7.5. We'll see. The money line, if you think the birds win, if you really believe that, then $100 brings back $375 when you cast a ticket. Check out all the games that the baseball going on and all the football, college and pro right there at your fingertips and all the props, which are a lot of fun. Go to parkscasino.com/PA. Use that promo code FANATIC. You get a risk-free bet up to $500. You got to be in Pennsylvania. You're going to be 21. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 11 o'clock across the Delaware Valley. As we hang out, it's a Thursday. Eagles-Ravens Sunday. I don't know. I hear people who like the matchup, and I don't get it. I honestly don't get it. Now, I guess the case is this. Does this make sense? I mean, I'm not buying it, but here's the argument that I'll try to make in favor of the Eagles. So you got one thing about them is that they're not terrible against the run.
Right.
Right. And we know they got horrible linebackers, but they're not awful against the run.
Their worst day was against the Rams, where I think they ran for, what, 185 yards, something crazy like that.
Right.
But that was a bad day, period, for the defense.
Right. If you got Slay on Brown, right? Like, so Slay takes Brown out of the game. Now you got Andrews, who's a really good tight end. But Andrews is not Kittle. He's not, you know, that Kelce type. He's more of a burly. He's good. He's good, and he'll catch everything. But he's not going to. He's not Claypool in that sense when it comes to speed and quickness.
Right.
So theoretically, if you could make sure Lamar doesn't kill you, do you match up against them? And that's the, you know, that's kind of the question.
Yeah.
That's the argument, right? If I make the argument that they got a chance, well, they've been good against the run. You got a corner to take out their best receiver. And then their tight end isn't totally fleet that could burn the Whitesnake. Maybe the Whitesnake can stay with Andrews a little bit.
Yeah, you know, if you were to ask me, I would have said I got two words in the drop for you. Lamar Jackson and...
Yeah, well. Nate or Nathan, which one are you going by these days?
Whitesnake.
So that's my biggest concern. I think Lamar could rush for 120 this weekend. And I'll be honest, like, I love Darius. Like, he's had a fantastic season. Everybody that he's guarding is not, you know, performing. And Terry McLaurin's a speedster, and obviously we watched Darius Slay guard him in the Washington football game in week one. Hollywood Brown can move, man. And my concern is if they do a lot of underneath stuff, if they do a lot of Lamar Jackson moving around and running and breaking for runs, that eventually Brown goes deep and beats Slay. And Slay did get beat a few times last week.
He's the last guy I'm worried about is Darius.
No, I agree. I'm just saying.
Darius is a player.
That could be one big play for the Ravens.
I'm a big Slay fan.
I am too. That could be the one big play for the Ravens, like big, deep shot downfield. But, I mean, listen, they're not good at containing on the edge. So if they're moving Lamar Jackson to the outside,
the only time
I saw this season where the defense was able to contain on the edge was against Joe Burrow.
Right.
And it seemed like Brandon Graham or Fletcher Cox. Remember a couple times Cox hit him and Burrow was looking for the flag on the sideline. But, you know, you're not going to get that rook just yet. So that was the only time. And Lamar Jackson's a lot quicker than Joe Burrow.
So I got one.
Okay.
That it's like you ever close your eyes and you see a vision? It's never happened to me, but I'm just imagining. So here's my vision.
All right.
Devin Duvernay. You remember the kid from Texas?
Yep.
Got a lot of speed.
He's drafted, what, third or fourth round this year?
On a jet sweep.
It's possible. Any jet sweep or end arounds killed the Eagles this year.
Taking it 66 to the house.
Yeah, I could see that. That every jet sweep or end around has hurt the Eagles this year. Mm. The Eagles are the only team that can't do it. Remember they tried the... reverse with Adrian Killens and he lost 12 yards.
Yeah.
The Eagles are the only team that don't do bunch formations and they can't can do the end around ever since they lost Aguilar.
Here's my Parks wager for you guys out there. Duvernay to score. It's got to be heavy odds.
Probably.
Anyway, that's my fear. Because all that Lamar. Lamar's a ghost. And, it, you know, I'm worried about it. I like Dobbins, too.
Oh, yeah. Listen, if the Eagles win, you said something to me last week before the Steelers game, that a win against the Steelers would not be considered a miracle win. And I agree with you.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was going to be a 38-29 game. I thought it was going to be an ugly 24-20 spot.
Yeah, my only point was it wouldn't be like
yeah.
You know, the Flyers, the USA beating the Russians.
Right, all right. This might be a miracle win for me.
Is it a miracle win?
For yeah, me, probably. And if they win, I go.
I mean, miracle? We're going miracle at yeah. home?
No, I am.
7.5?
Remember, I brought this up to, who did I bring this up to? I think it was when I was with Marty over the weekend. Remember we did the lines before the season started, and each game, they already had like the number for it?
Yeah.
The Birds were +1 against the Ravens, you know, when they made the preseason.
They were
yeah.
not.
Yep. You had me and Tyrone try to guess the line, and they had the
Are
Birds at +1 this game. Now, because of how the season's unfolded, +7.5.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That tells you something.
Yeah. All right, let's get back to the phone. Sal, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Salvatore.
I'm good, brother.
What's happening, Sal?
Here for the next 8 hours.
Oh, Sal's having a conversation. Sal calls back. Let's go to Dave. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Davey.
Fellas, what's going on?
What's happening, Davey?
It's not my first time, but I got to say it's been a long, long time since I talked to you. So it's, I'm just really glad that both of you and the rest of the station has made my work weekend. I texted you earlier this weekend. I just want to say thank you to you.
Oh, my God, Davey. You're the man, little Dave.
It's been a long time. One quick nugget and then one point. Quick nugget, we talked about all the receivers that the Eagles have missed on in the recent drafts. If Chunas were to pull up the 2011 draft, the Cam Newton draft, and the first 11 picks, you had Cam Newton, Von Miller, Julio Jones, A.J. Green, and J.J. Watt, Patrick Peterson, right? If you go down that list, you have a lot of Pro Bowlers. The Eagles decided in that draft to pick Danny Watkins, right?
Yeah.
Which could be a bust. Let's just face it. Actually is.
That's just not a bust. That's the worst draft pick in the history of drafts.
I could agree. So the next pick after that pick is worse
than Darko Milicic taking second in the NBA draft.
I could agree. Well, the next pick after was the Saints, and they picked Cameron Jordan. So can you just imagine defensive line with Trent Cole, Cam Jordan, and then the next year you get Fletch, and then you have BG on the other side later on.
No, I know. Going through the draft, we did this exercise the other day, and Andrew and I were like knee deep in it,
yep.
and going through all these drafts, mm-hmm. and these drafts are Dave, it's unbelievable the guys that they could have had. It makes you sick. Now, you could say that for most teams, you know, like hindsight's 20/20, so to speak. But it's so bad with the Eagles because of what they got.
Right. No, nail on the head, and I listened to that entire show. It helped me get through my work day. My main point is I think that the four teams, they need to find guys who play with a chip on their shoulder. I feel like we don't have enough of them. You know, if we were to go outside of the athletes from these teams, if you look at a guy like Kyle Lowry, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's got dog in him. You know, if throughout these playoffs that you saw recently, especially against the Celtics, if you looked at game 6, Kyle Lowry wanted the ball in his hands and he wanted to go shot for shot with Tatum. Why? Because he's got dog in him. He plays with the chip on his shoulder.
I love Kyle Lowry. No, you're right. Who's got dog in them?
I feel like Greg Ward does a little bit. I feel like Fulgham does. But I don't think collectively there aren't enough athletes in this city who have enough dog in them. You know, we want Ben to shoot. We want Joe to be in shape. I can agree with that, yes. Yes, I think JT would. But I feel like there aren't enough athletes who have that, you know, chip on their shoulder mentality. Yeah. And I feel like, you know, those scrappy guys who dive on the floor in a basketball game or will jump in the pile, try to finish up a sack or a tackle in a football game, or, you know, play good situational baseball and run down the first baseline to beat out a throw at first base. We need those kind of guys and those kind of athletes in Philly. Whether it's in the first round or the last round, we need to look for those quality guys. No more Howie Wowie. It sounds like a candy bar that's good for the average. Yeah, it sounds like a good advertisement, but tastes worse than an Almond Joy.
I get you. The Almond Joy. That's great. I love it. Davey, always a pleasure, my brother. Best of the family, all right?
You too.
All right, buddy. Take it easy. The Howie Wowie. Are you an Almond Joy man?
No.
Does anybody like the Almond Joy?
No. Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. No.
I gotta be honest with you.
The mounds, Almond Joy, and I'm out.
You're out on all that?
Yeah.
You're out on the coconut?
No, I don't hate coconut. I just don't think the Almond Joy and the mounds is that good.
You're out on the nut?
No, I do too. I'm in. I think it's one of those candies that when you go to the house on Halloween,
yeah,
and you know they hand out the bucket, and all you see is those blue and red wrappers.
Yeah.
You go,
yeah,
really? This is what you got? How about a Hershey bar? I don't need anything big. I just need a little Hershey bar.
Yeah,
I see Pat Egan screaming behind you. He must be an Almond Joy man. Look at him. He loves the Almond Joy. He's furious.
Wow.
He's the one that keeps the business open.
It's funny. I used to break a friend of mine's stones. He used to give them out for Halloween.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. Like,
and I would go, dude, you can't give out the Almond Joy.
Yeah, now I'm a weird candy person, though.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, but here's the thing. We got Halloween coming up.
Yeah.
The only thing you can give out of Halloween is, to me, the Reese Cup.
I'm a big Reese Cup, man.
The Kit Kat.
Yep.
The Snickers.
Yeah.
Or the Crunch.
I love the Crunch. The Nestle's Crunch. 100 grams.
Maybe like an M&M's.
Yeah. I like the M&M.
Whatever. But anything beyond that.
See, now I'm a... I like the Baby Ruth.
You're going... That's
a... I'm a Baby Ruth, man.
That's a Bobo ball?
No, it's not. I like a Baby Ruth.
I'm a Baby Ruth Bobo.
You can't go Bobo on the Baby Ruth.
Yes.
No.
Baby Ruth Bobo.
Solid SWAT.
That's a Bobo. It's a Bobo candy bar. It is.
Now, here's where I have the violation. I'm a big fan, and I used to make trades. I liked the gummies, the dots.
Ew.
I used to make trades. Like, I would trade here.
The old school dots?
Not the one on the paper, not the wax paper, but the jelly.
The one that, like, they pull your teeth out of your gums?
Yeah, I love those. I was a big fan of those, and I liked... Hear me out. I don't anymore. I loved the orange circus peanut, like the marshmallow thing. They're still out there. I used to love them as a kid.
What is it?
It's like the orange circus peanut. It was like a marshmallowy kind of thing.
Oh, the candy corn?
No. It's like the big. They're kind of big. Not the can. I hate candy corn. Candy corn is most overrated. Candy corn peeps. Gotta blow them out of this earth.
Yeah, they're not even man-made. Like, you don't even know what they
People
are.
People only buy them because I've gone this rant multiple times. They're only bought because of the season, right? So people buy candy corn. Yeah. Candy corn is only around because people go, oh, it's Halloween time.
Yeah.
People must love candy corn. So I'm going to get them for my house, even though I don't like them.
Right.
Yeah, candy corn's
nobody
worse.
Nobody likes candy
The peep, corn. Same thing. Oh, it's Easter. Got to have some peeps in case people like them.
My father's a peep man.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Your father's, you know, a loner when it comes to the peep.
He's a peep guy.
Nah, the peep is the worst.
The peeps.
I'm so anti-peep.
What's this other candy?
The circus peanut. I'll show you during the break. When you see it, you'll go, ew, you liked that? You always see it when you're cashing out the grocery store.
The circus peanut.
Yeah. It's like the marshmallowy things. They're orange.
How could you like that, but you don't like the peep? Isn't it the same thing?
Again, I passed that stage in my life. I used to like them as a kid, but I found the orange circus peanut superior to the peep.
It's the same thing, isn't it? It's a marshmallow item?
It's different.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
I'll send you a picture.
All right.
You'll know what I'm talking about.
And the other thing, too, is, like, my Massimo likes all those, the crap candies. Like the, you know, all those fish and
oh, Swedish fish? I love the Swedish fish.
The gummy worms.
You can't be anti-Swedish. Yeah. Oh, dude, a sour gummy worm?
Yeah. Listen, the sour... I actually like the sour because I'm a sour.
Big sour gummy worm.
I like the lemon. I like lemon.
You like Warheads? Do you ever have a Warhead?
Yeah. Here's the problem with the Warheads. That's the lemon one.
Well, it has all kinds of flavors.
The problem is that the lemon wears off.
No, you're thinking of Lemonhead.
Okay, yeah.
Warhead has different flavors. It's real sour when you first eat it, and then eventually the sour goes away. You got the taste the rest of the way.
I don't know. I like the sour.
I'll get you a Warhead. I'll see if you like the Warheads.
But all that other stuff, it's garbage. You should only, like, nobody should eat them at Almond Joy.
There you go. Pat got you a present. A bag of Sweetest Fish.
Yeah, the fish. You like the fish, too?
Yeah, the fish are a good candy.
I can't do the fish is gross.
I love the Swedish fish. I don't even chew on it. I just, get the flavor out. I don't chew on the candy.
All right.
I don't want my teeth damaged.
You like the dots?
Yeah. I'll still eat dots.
What flavor? You like the chocolate? I mean, the licorice?
I just get whatever the box is. The yellow box.
The black is the licorice.
No, I just get the yellow box with the different colors in it.
Yeah, what's your favorite flavor? It's my question.
Oh, I just throw them all in my mouth at the same time.
The dots?
Yeah.
But they're different flavors. The green is lime. The orange is orange.
I don't think the taste is that much different. I like the dot.
Dots are bobo. That's a bobo.
It is a bobo
candy.
That's
a stone bobo. There's only five candies. Everything else is bobo. Baby Ruth
bobo. Baby Ruth's not bobo.
Yeah, it is. And by the way, I'll give you a great underrated candy.
What do you got?
But it's still a bobo candy. It's the $100,000 bar.
100 grand?
Yeah.
I love 100 grand.
That's a good bar.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of 100 grand.
The, I don't know what it's, the Crispies in it.
I like that.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the Crunch Bar.
Yes. Drew in Westchester, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Drew.
Hey, what's going on, Anthony? How are you, buddy?
What's happening, my brother?
So I just wanted to talk a little bit about the Eagles and what you think their chances might be for actually making the playoffs. I know it's a crazy thought, but I really think 7 wins could get you this division. And if they win a game, surprisingly, if they could beat the Ravens or maybe the Saints or a team where they're not really supposed to beat and they take care of their business in their own division, I don't see why they couldn't win that division.
Yes, they can win the division. And I still think that they're a good bet to win it even after they lose to Baltimore.
I agree, too. Yeah, absolutely.
I look at that Dallas defense and Dalton's fine, but he's not good enough to overcome how bad that defense is.
Yeah, no, the defense is horrible. And I think Andy Dalton, I mean, he's like kind of like an average quarterback. He's going to be consistent. He's not going to give you a great game. He's not going to really lose you a game either. I think he's just going to be mediocre.
I mean, he's got great weapons, right? So,
that's the thing, yeah.
Again, he was good when he had a young A.J. Green. Like, he was good. He was good. He was.
Yeah.
He got him to the playoffs. So there's no reason why Andy Dalton with those guys around him can't put up big numbers. The problem that I see is that they'll miss Dak's ability to move, right? And Dak's better than Dalton. And you got to be great to be able to overcome that defense. I don't think they can be great.
No, that defense is just, I mean, let the Giants put up however many points, I forget what it was, 29 or something, was absurd. So, I'm going to stay positive with this, Anthony, if we lose the Ravens. Until I think we lose, another division game, I'm going to keep the faith.
Well, yeah, listen, I don't know, I think they're going to be in it all year long. That doesn't mean I think they're good, though. Right.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think once they come to the playoffs, I mean, if we do host the home playoff game, I think we're one and done. But yeah,
exactly.
There's too many good teams out there like Seattle and Green Bay and Kansas City. I mean, in the
AFC. Yeah, but I'm with you in that I'd rather them make the playoffs than not make the playoffs.
Agreed, because anything can happen once you get there. I mean, we've seen it in the past. So I don't want to tank for just the sake of a draft pick like a lot of people are talking about.
You got it, my brother. That's good stuff. Do you like the this peanut, this marshmallow peanut?
Marshmallow peanut? I can't say that I would. I'm not a big
Shirkish peanuts. Yeah. Orange marshmallow peanut. This is the chews. I just see them. These are gross.
Yeah, I used to like them as a kid.
These are horrible. Yeah,
probably through high school, I liked them.
Do you like the Almond Joy, too? That's a bobo candy.
I like Almond Joy, Anthony.
You do?
Oh, man. Sorry.
Yeah. Or the Mounds Bar. Yeah, I like a little coconut.
Wow. All right. Thank you, Drew. Appreciate it, brother. Wow, there's some love on the Almond Joy. The VG sends me The orange circus peanut?
Yeah.
This is one of the grossest things ever.
They're good, man.
You used to trade for them?
Yeah. And the Babe Ruth bar.
Oh, my God. You got...
My man Matt Chilla on the Twitter, he goes, Rolos are the most underrated candy of all time.
You know what?
He's right.
That's a genius statement right there.
Love the Rolo.
The Rolo. Wow, I love the Rolo. The Rolo is a great candy.
Yes, it is.
I agree. Thumbs up to the Rolo. We go from the Rolo and the marshmallow peanut to NJ Diet, all right? Because I don't think the Rolo's a part of this deal. But I will tell you that they're fantastic. It's all about science when it comes to NJ Diet. And it's about not just losing weight, but getting yourself healthy. And it only takes 40 days to lose 20 to 40 plus pounds with NJ Diet. NJ Diet's contractually guaranteed money-back program starts, get this, with bioenergetically personalized supplements based on your hair, saliva, and blood work. Then NJ Diet uses DNA testing to create your ideal diet plan and workout regimen to help you keep it off for the rest of your life. Now, you're not sure you can do it alone? I get it. NJ Diet is with you every step of the way. You're fully monitored by their certified staff to make sure you are burning fat and not just losing water. You'll also have access to the doctor's personal email and phone number. NJ Diet is committed to you keeping the weight off. It's all natural, no shots, no hormones, no surgery. NJ Diet offers live online video consultations, and they got locations throughout the Northeast. Get this, including at Princeton, and now you got open in Cherry Hill. It's a big deal. Lose 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days. Contractually guaranteed. Visit njdiet.com or call 855-5NJ-DIET. That's 855-5NJ-DIET.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Another 30 on a Thursday. Our 11 o'clock hour brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged. Let's meander on the text board. Some love for the Eagles on the text board on Sunday. Judas, you ready? Provolone Joe. The Eagles are my upset of the week. Baltimore is due for a letdown. They got a bye week. Pittsburgh after that. Eagles outright book it. Gabriel. Ravens just trounced the Bengals last week. They're feeling themselves. They travel to Philly to face a subpar Eagles team. Next week, their bye week. Then they're back against the Steelers for a division rivalry game. They are looking at this week as a let's get through this easy win game and get home. They're going to be focused on getting some rest and family time in the bye week. Eagles are home with fans. Must win. Textbook trap game. Eagles win 4-3-1 going into the bye week. Book it.
All right.
Wow. Some heavy love for the birds.
All right. I like that.
Yeah? You buying it?
No. Maybe I'll talk myself into it.
Yeah, they're off next week, and then they come back November 1st against the Steelers. I don't know. I mean, you can make a trap game argument like the guys just did, right? Oh, here we go. on the line with us. There he is. Pre-game show, Devon and B-West over at Parks Casino, the Gun on One podcast. Here he is, the one, the only, D-Gun. D-Gun!
Anthony, how you doing today, man?
What's going on, my man?
Man, it's a beautiful day outside. You know what I say, when the sun is shining, it's a great day, brother.
You are Dr. Sunshine. I like it.
Yes. I'm trying to put you in the proper frame of mind every week I talk to you.
Listen, I'm a great I'm a people person. I'm a happy-go-lucky guy. I'm just not a Pollyanna. I'm just not Pollyanna. You know what I'm saying?
When it comes, is that what you're calling me, a Pollyanna?
When it comes to, I'm not calling you. When it comes to sports, all right, I'm happy-go-lucky when it comes to life. When it comes to sports, I'm happy-go-lucky until I can't be happy-go-lucky without being a Pollyanna, you know. You get it. I mean, look.
So you're a man of multiple personalities.
No, I'm one personality. I'm just honest is what I am. I'm honest to a fault. So let me ask you a question. Let's get it started. Sunday Eagles, there's some love for the birds. Do you feel the trap game?
You know, I heard what you said about some of the people out there with the optimism, and it's a novel idea, but if you think John Harbaugh is not going to have this team ready to play on Sunday, you are sadly mistaken. They're going to be ready. You know, you look at the way the Ravens have played the last 2 years, they are ready when they're playing. And I tell you what, if you thought Pittsburgh had speed, this team has speed on both sides of the football. I think they're a faster team than Pittsburgh in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I agree with that.
They're going to be they're going to be ready to play. You know, period. I love the fans' optimism. I hope they're right. As we all know, anything can happen on any given Sunday. But I'm not about to chalk this up as a W for the Eagles. Although offensively they've been playing better the last couple of weeks, I'm not chalking this up to a W.
All right. So yeah, I mean you can't put a W in there. I mean you got to hope that they come in and maybe Baltimore is a little off the game. I agree with you. I think it's a tough matchup. Now, again, to attack the Ravens, let's think about this from an X and O standpoint. I love Darius Slay. Like, Darius Slay's a player, right? So you got him to take Brown, hopefully, out of the game. Then you got to worry about Andrews, right?
Now, no question.
Andrews is not Kittle or Kelsey. So
he's a very good tight end, though.
He is. Yes, but he's not those other two. So the hope is
that
the White Snake can stay with him.
Okay. All right. What's the one area in pass defense that they've consistently had problems with this season?
Without a doubt. That's why I bring it up. And I say he's not Kittle, right? He's not Kittle. Andrews is more lumbering, and he's not Kittle. So the hope is... Again, I'm just looking at it from an Eagles slant that you could stop. Andrews is easier to stop than Kittle or a Claypool type.
He doesn't have that straight ahead speed, but what he's a big body. He uses his body well. This guy already has 5 touchdown catches, and he's averaging almost 13 yards a catch. That's a problem in itself. The thing is, you're right. He's a little bit more lumbering, but he's sure-handed. He's physical. And they use him extremely well. And I'm not saying that the Eagles can't defend him. I'm just saying it's not a given that they're going to take
him. No, I know, but if you're making up a recipe where the Eagles can hold Baltimore, this like you got to stop Andrews, right? Like,
because here's a problem, though. Because of that guy, Lamar Jackson, the way he moves around back there, it allows everybody else to eventually slide away from containment and coverage. And that's where Mark Andrews is most dangerous when Lamar starts moving around back there and roaming outside of the pocket. He's very good at getting away from the coverage. And that's what makes him so efficient in terms of how they utilize him in that offense.
Yeah, I agree.
And you were talking about Marquise Brown. Have you noticed the last couple of games, teams are not shying away from Darius Slay. They're going after Darius Slay now.
I know.
You know, again, I don't know what it is.
The objective was to make a case that the Eagles don't get throttled by the Ravens offense.
I agree.
So all I was doing was trying to make a case.
Are you trying? Do you want me to be honest or not?
Yeah, go ahead, brother. All right, go ahead.
Do you want me to tell you what you want to hear, or do you want me to be honest?
Listen, I got eyes. I know what I see. All right? There's a reason why I don't think the Eagles win Sunday. But if we were making an argument as to how, like the game plan, I wanted you to take a game. Let's look at it from a game plan. You're Schwartz, all right? How are you going to stop this team?
I'm playing five DBs. I'm playing five DBs most of the game. I'm playing deep thirds. I'm playing two high safeties. Marquise Brown does not get – Marquise Brown is a legit 4-2 guy, 4-3 guy. Marquise Brown does not get past my secondary. I want to make sure of that because this kid can flat-out fly. And I'm bringing somebody down in the box. I'm making Lamar Jackson move. You know, he's the leading rusher on the team. He's going to get his yard scrambling no matter what you try to do. You have to get to him. Make him move off his mark. Even if you don't get him down, make him move. Make him move his feet, you know. Offensively, if I'm the Eagles, I try to bang away at this team. I understand they're a very good run defensive team. I think it's going to be similar to Pittsburgh. You're not going to get a lot of outside big runs on this team. They're too fast laterally. They have three great linebackers, and their linebackers are very active. You got to smash. You got to hit this team between the tackles, whether it's delayed draws, whatever the case may be, middle screens. You got to do something different, you know, because your game plan. You had that one big run last week. Sanders had a 74-yard run. All of a sudden, all they had was 20 yards rushing the rest of the game.
Yeah, well, part of it is that he goes away from it the minute there's a narrow play.
Yes. You have to stay committed. I mean, let's look at it. You look at the final score of that Pittsburgh game. The Eagles are right there until the bitter end. But they got away from that run again. They had their chances, you know. And this is like the fourth out of five games where the Eagles had a chance to win four of the five games they were playing in. And you have to stay committed. It drives me nuts that they just totally abandoned one aspect of their game. And if it's a blowout, I understand that you're playing catch-up. But if you're still very much in that game, don't abandon it. Keep it close. Keep that other offense off the field. Keep the chains moving. You know what I mean?
Sure.
You have the offensive personnel, even though it's a nicked up offense. You look at this young kid, Travis Fulgham, emerging. You have Greg Ward. Every time he catches a pass, it's a first down. So you have the personnel to sustain drives and make long drives. You have to play the clock against this Baltimore team, or they will chew you up. Look at what they did to a Cincinnati team that the Eagles struggled with just to tie. I mean, 27-3. That tells you all you need to know about this Baltimore team. So you have to flip the script and do something they're not expecting.
Yeah, well, you're going to have to attack them down the field is what you're going to have to do.
You're going to have to. But again, you know, and you know what?
And Carson has to give you that game where he's got to leave it like he does and leave it on the field, and he's got to run, and you're going to have to move him because you got to move the pocket against them.
There's no question. You cannot leave that man as a stationary target or he'll get tattooed. There's a reason why the Ravens have 16 quarterback sacks. And as I've been screaming all season long, Carson is a much more efficient quarterback and athlete when you move that pocket and get him outside of that pocket. You know, look at some of the throws he's making outside of the pocket now. That's his game. Don't make him a stationary target or it's going to be a long day for him. You know, when you look, I mean, Baltimore's got some great cover guys. You know, they have Marlon Humphrey, Marcus Peters, Jimmy Smith. You look at the linebackers. L.J. Ford, who we gave up on
here. Yeah, I believe me, I know.
They go with Patrick Queen and Pernell McPhee. So the linebacker, Calais Campbell. I mean, they have everything you want on both sides of the ball.
It's
athleticism versus athleticism. Carson is athletic enough. Get out of that pocket, you know, and throw in the move, or if you see a seam, take off and run and get down. That's part of the overall game that you have to hit this Baltimore defense with. You cannot play into Baltimore's hand, or you're going to end up on the bottom end of a score the way Cincinnati did. You can't. You just can't. You've got to move Carson. It's imperative you move this kid outside of the pocket.
All right, so here's the deal. If I tell you, we're talking to D Gunn on the Comcast Business Highline. Don't forget the Gunn on One podcast and, of course, D Gunn with Devon and P. West for the pregame show. Now, if I ask you this, you have, and you said it earlier about Fulgham, who I like, I think is real. I think Fulgham is legit. And Ward, who I love his, he could play in the slot for me. I love his,
absolutely.
I love that kid. You know why? He's tough. He catches, I do, I love him. And to me, I want to go, and when Reger comes back, it's Reger, Fulgham, and Ward the rest of the way. I don't care about Alshon Jeffrey. 100%. I don't care about DeSean Jackson. I got to use this year as I need to find out who's a keeper. I need to find out about my team, Deion.
Here's why you need to find out about your keepers, because it's well documented. This team is like $90 million over the cap for 2021. Some hardcore decisions are going to be made, and you're going to have to start going with youth, because even if the Eagles use what little money they have left to help offset that cap dilemma next year, they're still going to be severely upside down. And there are going to be some hardcore decisions, and I'm telling you right now, there's some veteran personnel. I'm not going to give you the names right now. I'm going to wait until December. But there's some hardcore. There's some names that are not going to be back with this team in 2021.
Yeah,
Yeah, you might be surprised, a few of them.
Yeah, maybe not surprised, a couple of them. Sure. Oh, I think the same thing. You know, listen, I love the big defensive tackle, but is he long for this place? I don't know.
I don't know. Like I said, I'll tell you what you want to know in December.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just waiting to hear more information, and I'm debating with people from the information I'm getting. It's going to be interesting to see. But how is
there's not a lot of trades deadline, but if someone called you, and I can't imagine this being any kind of active, especially with COVID, would you consider a big move, almost not a dump, but a dump, right? Would you do that?
Absolutely. It depends on what I'm getting in return. If you're going to give me a stud linebacker, I'm listening.
Well, it's going to be draft picks, right? So anybody gives you anything, going to get draft picks.
But I need a player now, too. I want a player. Because right now, you know, as crazy as it sounds, 1-3-1 looks pretty good in the NFC East. So this thing is not over by a long shot. I need a body, an athletic body, a proven body that can help me shore up some holes that I have right now. I want a draft pick also, and there's a possibility. But I need a body right now to help me in a certain area. You know, I don't want future draft picks. We know the history of this team drafting. I'm not laying my eggs in a future draft picks with this team. It's got to be more than just draft picks.
All right, let me ask you the other question that someone last night explicitly told me what to do, what he would do.
Okay.
And that was, you ready? Blow it all up and trade Carson.
I don't know if I'm ready to do that yet. I don't. What if Jalen Hurts doesn't prove to be what they're hoping he is down the road? Whatever it is, and I don't have any inside information on that right now, but what if Jalen Hurts is not it? So then you got to go back into the draft and get another quarterback next year?
I agree with you. But again, that's what I think. That's the groundswell. It always starts as a low rumble until it turns into thunder.
Absolutely.
And this is what's going on now. I'm fiercely against it. I don't want to move Wentz, but.
What kind of messages that you send in your team then, if you do that?
If you're doing that at the end of the season, the message is we're rebuilding, we're getting rid of all the veterans, and we're going to start fresh.
Yeah, but you're still in. These guys want to win. I mean, as bad as it looks.
Ah, but who wants to win? You're going to move any of the guys that want to win. You're moving.
Not Cox, all of them. Some Ertz. Of them will be restructured. You know, there's a few that are going to be restructured.
Yeah, but the point is that. They're saying we're not ready. Like, yeah, it's well and good. They want to win. Are they good enough to win?
Are they good enough to win their division?
Well, come on. I mean, that's circumstance. The only reason they're going to win a division, or they could win a division, is because it's circumstance. The two worst teams in the league are Washington and the Giants, and the Cowboys might have the worst defense in the history of football.
No question about it. And these guys still want to win. They're playing for something more than a paycheck. They want to win.
Well, everybody wants to win.
If you tell them this early in the season, we're already building for next year, then we're sitting here watching players. Okay, is everybody giving it all?
No, the talk was at the end of the year, move Carson.
Oh, the end of the year. I thought you meant now before.
No. The end of the year was move Carson.
Okay, well, yeah, at the end of the year, okay, that's a completely different animal, you know.
And I'm fiercely against moving Wentz then, but that's the groundswell.
You pay this man a lot of money. You've called him your franchise quarterback. Are you going to give up on him now? You look at what this young man was capable of doing with a bunch of walk-ons late last season to rally. When we thought they were dead to rights and rally that team, played great football down the stretch. Now, granted, we know who they were playing against outside of the Cowboys. We know the competition they were playing against. But he rallied this team. They could have folded it in, but he rallied this team. They won a division. If I can get him better personnel around me, if you can get high draft picks for this franchise quarterback to build in that regard, because I believe you're going to have to, in some ways, gut this team to rebuild it. But then again, when you look at the draft history, do you feel comfortable with how
their talk is
rebuild the team?
Yeah, but here's where they go. And people saying that are saying just gut everyone. So they just want to push the detonate button. Anyway, that's the state of the fan base. D Gunn will be listening pregame show Sunday morning with B West and Devon. Can't wait, baby.
Hey man, everybody, check out this week's Gun on One. I got my good friend Scott Hansen on there, and of course, one of the more knowledgeable people I know in the industry. Another good friend, Adam Kaplan, on this week's podcast.
Awesome,
great podcast. So if you guys get a chance, and everybody out there listening,
it's a great podcast. You know, I will tell you. It's a great podcast. Gun on One, baby.
Thank you, brother.
You're good at it. So keep it up.
Thank you, my man.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate it, D-Gun. Thanks, buddy. Have a great weekend.
Have a great day.
You too. Be safe.
You too.
There he is, D-Gun. It's Cuz Radio with Chunas. Back to your calls. Straight ahead. Now, listen. Are you looking for work? I got a timely and specific message about a local company. It's hiring right now. They need installers and service techs. Dreyfus Fireplaces, seeking skilled, reliable tradesmen to install and service prefab fireplaces at both residential and commercial sites. Visit DreyfusFireplaces.com or call 215-924-3500. Now, was your position eliminated in the wake of the COVID crisis? Are you out of work and you're dying? You want to get back on the field with the right team? Well, Dreyfus Fireplaces, located in our great city, Philadelphia, might be the perfect employer for you. Let's keep it simple. They have immediate positions available. They offer competitive pay. And trust me, they're not going anywhere. They've been around, you ready? 145 years. Visit DreyfusFireplaces.com. That's DREIFUSS. The number, 215-924-3500. Dreyfus, bringing the heat and quality and service. Ready? Since 1876.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
What up?
It's 12 o'clock. Me and Chunas hanging out. We hung out last night because we're excited. Well, a week from today, we're going to launch the Cuzzo Trivia app. So we're pumped up for the launch.
Damn right we are.
Chunas. We're going to launch the Cuzzo Sports Trivia. So it's all local, and it's Cuzzo Philly.
It was teasing a little bit.
Go into all the cities, but we stay at home first.
Yeah, we've been teasing a little bit, but now it's happening, man.
Philly, that's right. So it's fun. We have all prizes and just fun games. And who's the smartest guy? So we're excited. We went out last night with the team.
Yes.
Joe Marone and the squad. And the whole team.
Had a good time yesterday.
Yeah, it was fun. It was good. We're looking forward to it. We saw Oscar at Tequila's.
Yeah, oh my God, that's great.
We sat in the middle of the street on Locust Street.
So what you got to do nowadays, man?
Yeah, but guess what?
I like it. Beautiful night last night.
It was. It was gorgeous last night.
We're getting, let's see.
I'm worried about everything because, like, I love when people are together. The holidays, like, I hope it's not. I hope it doesn't get really bad.
Yeah, just got to keep being smart.
Yeah.
Just got to keep being smart, man. We're going to have some beautiful week coming up, too.
Really?
Yeah. This weekend, high 60 Saturday, high 65 Sunday. No, I'll take it. 68 Monday, 69 Tuesday, 72 Wednesday, Thursday,
nice. Yes.
70 Friday, 66 yeah. Saturday.
See, give me low 70s. I'm fine. You're in. Even high 60s I can deal with. Friday's horrible. You said 60. And the low, look at
it. I like high, a 60 on a Saturday.
The low, though, look at the low. The low's 39.
Yeah, I'm a big fire pit man, so I'll do that.
That's
Saturday
too cold.
Night.
39 degrees?
I'll do the fire pit Saturday night. Yeah.
That's too cold for the fire pit.
Some of my honey liquor.
Did you make some more?
No, but I just still have a ton.
Really?
Yeah. I got to bring some in for someone. It's Rhonda.
Yeah, Miss Rhonda's waiting for
her birthday's tomorrow.
Yes, happy birthday, Miss Rhonda. We love you. That's right. We love you too, Gruss. How about Miss Rhonda's birthday? That's
yeah.
Cool. All right. What's the poll situation?
Poll. We have one that's still running from yesterday, and we have one that's going on today. And of course, the poll of the day is brought to you by Marvin E. Cans Heating and Air Conditioning. Marvin E. Cans Heating and Air Conditioning is open and able to assist you with any emergency service and replacement needs, including installation of air scrubbers and other air quality products. Visit MarvinEcans.com today. The one from yesterday on at 975 middays is the, quote, they won the Super Bowl excuse expired for Howie Roseman, Doug Peterson, Jim Schwartz, and others who evaluate talent for the Eagles. 76% have said so far, yes, it has expired. 19% say it will after the season. 5% say it will never expire. So it didn't really change much. It actually went up. It was 74% yesterday when we checked it. Now it's 76. Sounds about right.
How could it never expire? Like, it was unbelievable, but it has to expire if you ever want to win again.
I think there are people that will always cherish that and will never.
But that doesn't mean.
It's only 5%.
You can cherish it.
Yeah.
You can cherish the Super Bowl and still say, that's not an excuse for bad personnel moves.
Yeah, I think Watts with a majority, 95%, right? Yeah. You know, I'm not saying I do get it, but at the same time, it's like, all right, there's probably some people that are like,
you go lunatic fringe, I get it.
Yeah. The one from today is mentioning how you get super excited for every single football game, whether it's a Thursday night, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, like we had last week, because it could be the last one this season. We don't know. But then I mentioned that before the season started, we had somebody that told you that they can't get excited because we don't know whether or not there's going to be a following week. So where are you when it comes to this? Are you cherishing each game like Anthony, or are you like that person who was on Twitter saying not getting overly excited? It's actually pretty close. 61% say cherishing each game. 39% say not getting overly excited.
Wow.
I'm surprised. I thought that was an 80-20 piece.
So did I.
But close to 40% say they don't get overly excited each week.
I guess that's how I look at college football.
Yeah, well, I also still
like
feel weird.
Alabama, Georgia, like I'm in, but I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, but now Alabama's coach might not even be a part of it.
I know.
You know what I mean? Like,
no LSU Florida this week.
No. Look, Florida 19 players test positive. Yeah. By the way, you put out the tweet about me liking the Orange Circus peanut. So a lot of people are responding. I retweeted it from the station account. You put out the question, the three candy hates. And a lot of people actually love the Circus peanut, which is astounding to me.
Are you serious? People like that?
Yes. But the Mounds Almond Joy is in there for a lot of people as a hate. The black licorice.
Pat Egan loves the Almond Joy.
Yeah, that's weird. The black licorice. All-time terrible candy. I don't know how you can like black licorice.
Well, did you? I agree. Now, my father loves it.
Black licorice?
Loves it. You know what it is? So, and I don't like it. And I realized I really don't like this liquor. And I, as much as I tried to drink it in the past because I thought it was my duty, my ethnic duty to drink it, I don't like it. It's Sambuca.
Oh, yeah.
And anisette. Now, anise, which is anise, anisette, how you make anisette, is in the black licorice. And I just don't like it. My father loves it.
Yeah, I'm anti-black licorice.
No.
Now, some violations.
You know that, did you read about that person?
Yes, who died?
Died?
Yeah.
But all they ate was black licorice for like...
like pounds of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pounds of black licorice, and because there's like, something in the dye, I forget it was the dye or whatever, just sort of backed up and messed them up. So,
yeah.
Thoughts and prayers. Robert Heiler tweets in, the Hershey's chocolate bar has a hate.
Really?
You can't hate the Hershey's.
Isn't that a classic?
Yeah.
Now I'm a if I do go that route, I like the almonds.
Like inside the I'm with you on that. But you can't hate the just the
No, I don't.
I like to put them in the freezer and then let them melt.
You're weird.
I do it with the Reese's cup. You've never done that with the Reese's cup?
No, you kill it.
You never frozen a Snickers bar? No, oh, dude, delicious.
No, I'm not a big Snickers guy.
And that's not even a cold, my cold preference thing. Just the frozen candy's delicious.
I don't do the frozen. Why don't you freeze a Reese's cup?
Ask anyone. They love it.
It's horrible. You kill the cup.
No, you don't. You don't kill the cup.
You kill the cup.
Now, I got one more for you. I got to ask your opinion on it, because I probably am weird for liking these, but I haven't gone out of the way to get them.
The Rollo's the underrated, man. The Rollo.
Michael tweets in, the Whopper. Like the chalky, chocolatey one? Like the little ball?
Oh, yeah. The malted balls.
Yeah,
the Whopper.
I like them.
Yeah, I mean.
When he puts them on the hate. Like, I don't go out of my way to get them.
Yeah, it's a kind of a Bobo candy, but.
Yeah, of course.
You know, it doesn't taste horrible. You got like that malted thing. But all those little kinds of candies, because like the malt, the Whoppers come, what, 3 or 5 in a pack?
Yeah, something like that.
The little ones?
Yeah.
That's all Bobo candy.
How do you feel about the Milk Dud?
Bobo.
I like the Milk Dud. Just sticks to your teeth, though.
What is it?
That's a good question, dude.
I mean, seriously. The Milk Dud.
Yeah, the Milk Dud's a...
What is it?
I don't know. Are you a snow cat man?
No.
No? The movie theater?
No.
It's the only thing that brings me back.
No.
Snow cat.
If I do any of that, I would do the Goobers. That's the one with the peanut.
Yes.
I would do the Goobers.
It's a quality candy.
I can't do the snow cap. That's horrible.
No, cool.
The non-Pearl.
I like the snow cap.
It's terrible.
No, snow cap's good, man.
What is that on top of the chocolate?
I don't know.
Non-Pearl, whatever
heaven.
It is. Heaven. It's
the taste
hard.
Of heaven.
It doesn't taste anything. It's terrible. It's crunchy.
Yeah, it adds the crunch.
Yeah, but it's bad. It's sugar.
Yeah,
it's terrible.
You're a kid, what's wrong with that?
Oh, I know, but it's no good. But what kid? Kids don't like that anyway. They don't like snow caps, kids. Rashad, South Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Rashad,
yo, Wayne, what's good?
What's going on, my brother?
I'm doing all right. Now, how's everything with you?
Not bad. I don't know. I'm in that worried mode.
Well, real quick, underrated the peanut chew. Always love that peanut chew.
You know what? The peanut chew is an underrated item. That was my grandmother. My mom loved the peanut chew.
Yeah, my grandma liked them too.
Yeah, the Goldbergs. Like, it was always in the candy. Did your grandmother have a candy dish?
Yeah, two.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. One on the end table with the lamp, and the other one on top of the TV, the console TV. She had it.
Yep.
Yeah,
had a couple.
Right, the peanut chews in one, and she would do the sour balls, like the hard candy.
My grandma had the hard candies and the work. She had Werther's, and she always would have
Werther's,
the holidays.
Yes,
the M&M holidays.
Yes. Oh yep. My God, yes.
Yes, sir.
And then she would get the. How about they would do the holiday kisses? Right,
yep.
That's cool.
That was my favorite, but yeah, getting to my man Jim Swartz. Jim Swartz seems like the only person. He has all of this, he has all of this, all of these power, but he doesn't use, he uses his people at, in positions that they're weakest at. Like, he has Gary. the two things Gary does well that I can see, he goes pretty rush the passer. The only only thing Gary needs to be on that field for is the going, is running at the line of scrimmage. He never needs to be on his field. Situational pass, situational blitzing. Because I think if you take him and you put him in with Belichick, Belichick's going to use him right. He should never be on his heels.
You're so right.
He should never
so,
be on his heels.
So right.
And the biggest thing with me is with Fletcher Cox, when I hear people talk, I'm like, Fletcher Cox's money, half of his money is made because he maintains a double team. If you maintain a double team, that's half of your paycheck to me. I'm like, he's consistently getting double teamed, which means if you actually send a blitzer up the gap, he's getting double teamed, then those offensive linemen got to make a decision. You got to make them think.
Yes. 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 Yes.
Sometimes I hear people call this station. I'm like, yeah, you know the basics about football, but you don't. If you think Fletcher Cox don't do nothing, I'm like,
exactly.
You don't really understand.
Exactly. He had a guy yesterday. Did you hear the show yesterday?
Yes.
Wait, did you hear the dude, D from Uptown, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not forgetting. He was really good, right? He was talking about the three safeties, and he was right. How much they relied on the three safeties.
Mm-hmm.
He was so much so that I was wondering, I'm going to go, wow, is this guy inside? Because this guy had something to say, like, we were talking, he was defending Jalen Mills.
Okay.
And he was right in what he said. It was interesting. It was an interesting conversation.
He's right with Jalen. Jalen, he's probably better at the corner, but he's still just average. It's not like he's going to bite. That's just what he does. But as far as your options, he cannot play safety. That's just, but he's their best option for what they do and what he tries to put in, he tries to put them in. And that's my biggest thing is like his side. You get to pick these players, but why do you use their weakest skill? Why do you want them to do that?
I agree, Rashad. That's a great call, man. My brother, be safe, all right?
You too. Good stuff, y'all, baby. Enjoy y'all day.
Thanks, buddy. You too. By the way, big news from the NBA.
I was just about to tell us to. Yeah.
Look at this. According to Woj, a Woj bomb, Daryl Morey of the Rockets stepping down after 13 seasons.
How about that?
Check that out. Daryl Morey stepping down.
He'll get a few phone calls, I'm sure.
Huh. I wonder, does Hinkie get back into the fray?
Wow. No.
Why? How come Sam doesn't deserve another job?
I don't think he's ever going to get another job. I really don't think he'll ever get another job.
He should get another job. Why can't he get another job?
Nah, I mean,
all these guys running franchises. He can't do it again.
Barbie thinks he gets blackballed. The NBA,
that's not fair.
You know, didn't they force him out? Isn't that one of the theories?
They didn't force him out. They just wanted to end the process and the way it was shaped. And then he said, well, if you're bringing somebody in to look over my shoulder, I'm out.
13 pages later, I'm out.
Because he's a prideful man.
Right.
But if I was a Rockets, I'd hire Hinkie.
That's where he started, right? Houston before he came here?
Yeah, well, he was Daryl Morey's assistant. Uncle Greg checks in.
What do we got?
From Family Chrysler Dodge Ram, Uncle Greg.
More than a customer of your family.
What'd you say?
More than a customer of your family.
Very good, man.
Online anytime. That's familyautos.com.
That's very good.
Oh, man, listen.
Very good, bro. Are you ready? You're a little out of line. Nonpareils are the best. Especially the dark chocolate ones.
Yes.
And the dark chocolate nonpareil covered pretzels.
Wow, yeah, he's right.
Love you, but you're out of line.
Good call, boy, Uncle Greg.
Now, here's where Uncle Greg is right. However, I'm anti-nonpareil. I really am. But this is where he's right. The chocolate-covered pretzel.
I love the chocolate-covered pretzel.
Is fabulous. Now, is that a Philadelphia thing? That's got to be a Philadelphia thing.
No, I think it's all over the place, right?
No, but I'm saying, but that had to start here. When I was a kid, my Aunt Cookie would get the chocolate covered pretzels.
And we're talking about the full-on cover, not like the stick where they dip only half of it.
Well, it turned into that, right?
Because I don't like the half. Oh, come on, man.
No, I agree.
Let's go all in here.
I agree.
I didn't get the chocolate covered pretzel to eat half a pretzel.
Well, they became an item, their thing, you know, which is cool. Like, they have the, you know, you pick them out and all.
Yeah, no.
And they have different, they have nuts, they have nonpareils, they have caramel or
just
whatever.
Just give me the full-on chocolate covered pretzel.
But that's what I was about to say. I think that's got to be a Philadelphia thing, the chocolate covered pretzel. First of all, the pretzel's ours, right? The pretzel itself is Philadelphia. So the chocolate covered pretzel would have to be Philadelphia.
Let me see if I can use my investigating reporting to see.
All right, see
the history.
I'm curious. When I was a kid, my Aunt Cookie would get us that was the treat. They would come in a white box of the chocolate covered pretzel. It was a white box. Look at this. Uncle Greg knows. He says it's a Philadelphia thing started by Asher Chocolates.
Now, I'm going to side with Uncle Greg here, but according to the Google machine, Hamburg, Germany in 1544.
Well, that predates us.
By Franz Joseph Liebritz.
Bleep Franz.
Anti-Franz?
Yeah, Franz. He started the chocolate covered pretzel?
Yeah, according to the Google machine.
I think Asher Chocolates did.
Yeah, I agree.
In 1544?
1544, my man, Franz.
I got to call my man.
Franz Liebritz.
I got to get my man John Brazier on the caper because he's related to Asher Chocolates. He'll know. Let's get to where we at. Mark in Miami, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Marky.
Anthony, I want to thank you very much for letting me do that yesterday because very few hosts would interrupt the interview to let somebody ask a question.
It's family. You know that. I mean, I'll do it for anybody.
And now, if you let me, I have two candies for you for a reason. One, there used to be a candy called Jujubes, and they were like made by the same people that made Juju Fruits, but they were horrible, the worst candy ever made, and they were hard as rocks, and they were little.
Well, that's the Seinfeld thing, right?
Well, what we did when we were kids, we used to have bean shooter fights, and instead of navy beans, we used the Jujubes, because they were hard as rocks, and everybody had to take off their shirt, and we'd have bean shooter fights with those Jujubes, and everybody had 5-6 packs of them.
Really? And you would have fights?
Yes. Yeah. You know what a bean shooter is, right? A straw, and you would...
Yeah. Yeah, like, right. What you call it? Like, whatever.
Fire them.
Spitball. We call them spitballs.
Only these were hard as a rock, and they could be a little welt, and we'd break up in like 5-on-5.
Wow, that's awesome.
And then...
What is it about... Like, I haven't seen my kids do anything like that.
Because we were always out on the weekends, you know, all the kids would be out in the street playing half ball or whatever we did.
You know what? It's funny, but like little things like that, we invented a lot of rough games.
Yep.
And my kids, they don't do that anymore.
Nope.
Like, doing this.
You never had 20 kids hanging out together at a time in the neighborhood. You don't see that anymore.
Well, whatever. Like, I mean, in school, I'm saying even in school. Like, I don't know what.
Yep.
You know, the spitball was a fun exercise.
Yep.
You know, like I pegged him in the head. You know, that was fun. Yep.
In another life, I used to be an assistant coach for textile hockey in the 70s.
Wow.
Anyway, so we're playing a game of Wissahickon and Rink, and it was between the first and second period. And the guys were dying. They said, we need some sugar or something. So I go to the candy machine in between periods, and I get like 10 packs of Rallos.
Oh, wow.
These Rallos were not fresh. They were a little stale, so they're a little harder. Well, everybody had them. They got on the ice. They couldn't open their mouths because it all stuck to their top and bottom teeth. And when they came back off the ice on shifts, they cursed me out for 3 weeks. In fact, 45 years later, they're still cursing me.
Wow. it's impressive, cuz.
we won the game.
I love it, man. I love that.
I never lived that down.
I love that. That's fantastic.
So I can't even look at a Rallo today.
I love it, man. The Rallo, man. I love it. Yeah. Marky, great stuff. Great stuff. All right, 610-632-0975. Canties and football. Hey, bleep COVID, all right? Let's just talk chocolate and football. Two things we love. It's 'cause Radio Tunis. And speaking of love and football, right? What else we love? Well, you love betting on football, right? Well, DraftKings, here it is, America's top-rated sportsbook app. And to add to the excitement of Week 6, DraftKings Sportsbook bringing back their can't-miss offer. All new users get the chance to sign up to $1,000. That's their bonus. That's right. DraftKings offers great odds boosts every Sunday to help you make it rain. DraftKings, safe, reliable, secure, making it easy for you to deposit, withdraw your money at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use promo code FANATIC when you sign up. Get up to $1,000. That's code FANATIC to get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000 for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Got to be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and the first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Hello.
All right, 12:30. Talking birds as always on a Thursday. Eagles and Ravens. And we got some love on the trap game. The Ravens trap game. There's been some love over that. Are you following the trap game, love?
No. I think
that was a dismissal.
I think the Ravens are just a very, very, very good football team.
Once again, the Ravens have a bye coming.
Yeah, I get that.
But, again.
They also know the Steelers are right there.
Well, but here's the other thing, 4-0. Too, is I don't understand how that equates to, well, we're going to play lightly, look past it.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I think they're a good football team. I get the bye week, but they have the Steelers are 4-0.
Yes.
Right? So it's like, it's one of those situations. Ravens have a loss because they lost to the Chiefs. It's one of those situations where you don't know where this division's going to go, so they got to keep on winning.
Yes.
And, you know, we had I think it was Provolone Joe. It was either Provolone Joe or Gabriel who texted you, and he said that it's a must-win game for the Eagles.
Yes.
At this point, I would say every game is a must-win, but when I look at this division, is it really a must-win game for the Eagles this weekend?
Yes.
I don't think it is. It's not a must-win game.
Yes.
If the Eagles lose this weekend, they can still go, oh, well, we're right behind the Cowboys.
Yes, 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 yes.
So that must-win game theory is out the window for me.
Yes, yes.
Yes. Hey, let's go Birds.
Go Birds. Go Birds.
I feel gross. It'll be 3 weeks in a row going against the Birds. I thought they were going to lose to San Fran last week, and now this week. I feel gross doing that, man.
Well, I mean, listen. You know, it's not criminal losing to Baltimore. Lamar Jackson.
No, it's not.
I mean, it's just not criminal losing to Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson's a great player.
Yeah. I just feel gross.
I hear you. I mean, you know, listen, I hope everybody's right. I hope it's some sort of trap game. And, you know, and listen, there is an ebb and flow. I believe in the ebb and flow, and I believe in the trap circumstance. And I could see where people would choose to make this a trap game.
Yes.
But I don't know. It's still very early in the season. I'm not in love with the matchup. I like it better than D-Gun. D-Gun, who's usually sunshine,
right.
D, was talking about, you know, Darius Slay. Like, I love Darius Slay. So I think Darius Slay, and look, Brown's fast, no joke, man. I love, but again, that's a matchup for most of the game you will be all right with because Darius Slay's a hell of a player.
He is. I'm just worried about that one shot downfield because I feel like it's something, they can set it up with that offense underneath Lamar against. Everybody knows about the Eagles linebackers.
Yeah. That is what it is. I get you. All right, let's get back to the phone lines. Let's go to Steve in AC. Stevie, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Stevie!
Stevie Beaches.
What's up, Beaches?
I am at the beach, and I beat COVID by doing two favorite things. I come down here, I'm running the board, got 5 miles in with you and the tunis on the headset. It's a wonderful day.
That's awesome, Stevie. Everything. You're fantastic.
You brought me down memory lane. I have a grandma mini, and I never knew anybody else. I swear to God, and for all day, I'm trying to think of what her real name is, and
it's Domenica.
She was my grandma was his grandma Minnie. I had no idea, but we always called her. Smoked 3 packs a day. It was interesting.
Now let me ask you a question.
When I was a kid.
Is your grandmother, was she Italian?
She was not. No, she was not.
I'm trying to think of the Minnie thing. See, they got Minnie because they would call my grandmother Minnie, but that her name was Domenica, right? And Domenica in English is Sunday. It means Sunday in Italian. Mm-hmm. So, but Domenica, they would call her Minnie. So there's got to be another name, maybe, you know, Mindy or something like that. Yeah.
But she was iconic. You know, we have those names. Like, you have Cookie. Like,
yeah,
Cookie,
the greatest.
Old school.
The best.
The names are old school. You just had me thinking of my childhood. Like, things would happen. Like, Cool Runnings would come out. We somehow made a bobsled out of a hand truck and a golf thing and... We just rolled kids down the street. I don't think that happens anymore.
No, I know.
Kids are watching kids playing video games on TV. So it's kind of over. But, I wanted to call. I'm curious about, like, the reason we draft the way we do. And I've seen it in Philly. Like, we're drafting players that we already have filled spots for. And sometimes we trade away great players that maybe some prospects will be almost as good as that player later, which I understand in a salary move. But, like, remember Cliff Lee? We traded for 3 guys you never knew. And the hope is that those guys become as good as Cliff Lee, but you already have them. So, like, sometimes in Philly, we seem to do this bizarre thing where everyone thinks they're smarter and what's right in front of them is what's being missed. And I think it's costing us. And right now, we've hedged, as I mentioned before.
See, why they do that in baseball is if they know they don't want to sign a guy or the guy is not going to re-sign, like he's a free agent, something to the effect of with the salary is when you try to go get prospects, and especially in baseball where you're hoping you trade an established guy and you can hit on a guy who's cheap who helps you manage your salary situation. And or you get studs, right? You get multiple guys. I mean, that's why you do it, you know. I mean, but the all-time worst trade, Stevie, was the Barkley trade. Because they traded Barkley for 3 guys who were like veterans. Jeff Hornacek, Andrew Lang, and who was the other guy? He was a Temple guy. Anyway, Tim Perry. And it made no sense, right? Like, if a young player might pan out and he helps your rebuilding process. So that's why they do it.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, you were saying last week, like, why aren't people giving, Wentz a little more credit? I think it just comes down to we're all a little at the end here. Like, we're tired of the caveats. Like, if he had a team, like, if the Flyers had a goalie. We're just, like, Tampa Bay is, like, the city of champions over and over. And we're here in Philly with the best fans. And it seems like the management, they just all somehow end up the same. So I think
I know. It compounds it. Yeah, you're right on. Stevie, love it, Beaches.
Stay safe out there.
You too, buddy.
Seriously, and just enjoy your life, though. You have to be careful, but you got to live within, you know, and keep your mental state well. That's important, too.
With you, buddy. Good stuff. Good advice. Let's go to D in Uptown. D, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, what's going on here?
Yo, D, hold on. You called yesterday?
I called yesterday, yes.
You're dude, you're fantastic.
Look, my goal is to be an NFL scout. So I watch, when I say I watch a crap ton of films, I probably watch more film than every person.
I got to tell you, I love you, man. You're fantastic.
I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it. But I'm going to tell you, the reason I called today was because I honestly would think we have a shot at this game. I legit think we have a shot.
Yeah.
I can explain why. It really depends on if Will Parks plays, I think we have a legit shot. And the reason I say that is because, one, it takes one of our horrible linebackers off the field, first and foremost.
Right.
Get one of those guys off the field. And because of our D-line. So if you look at that Chiefs game, that game that the Ravens lost, if you look at that Chiefs game, he was sacked 4 times that game. And a lot of the pressure came because they didn't allow him to get outside the pocket. With our DNs and the platoon of guys that we can send out there on the DNs and in the middle, if we can just contain him and force him, keep him in the pocket so he can't run,
right?
I think we have a legit shot, which is why I think we have a decent shot. Now, the issue is...
Yeah, my only thing I'm worried about is containing.
The linebackers and Mark Andrews. And if you can, again, personally, I personally want to see Sean Bradley play. That's just me.
I do too.
When he is out there,
yeah.
I'll let him. They'll make a mistake, but he's not getting. At least he's giving full effort.
I agree.
Gary doesn't give you anything. He just.
Yeah, well, he's hard.
I don't understand how you're a converted safety and you can't cover anybody.
I know.
Like, it baffles me. But that's my thoughts. Like, I really think we have a legit shot at this game, and it all comes down to if we have all our safeties. And it's looking like we'll have our three safeties with Mills, Parks, and McLeod. And I think if we get one of these, and I think Craig James is back as well, we get one of those guys back, and it allows Mills to go back to playing that third that the three safety look, I think we have a legit shot.
Listen, my only worry is containment on the edges, and with Lamar, man, he escapes. If you break your lanes, right, and you're not, you know how it is, when you're a guy on the outside, I just worry about a guy like Lamar Jackson, and if you're not disciplined in your lanes.
To me, this is a game where, as much as Derek Barnett, Josh Witt, those are guys who just want to go.
Yep.
This is one of them games where they're going to have to,
yep,
I guess, hold their water a little bit.
You got to be disciplined.
They got to be disciplined. Now, if they can do that, I think we're fine. Like, I don't worry about Brandon Graham, but those two.
No, I agree. Barnett and Sway,
if they can hold their water and you allow that pressure to come inside, I wouldn't be mad if they don't even play them and you put Malik Jackson outside at D into the stretch.
Yeah.
And you put.
Well, you nailed it. Malik, like, that's exactly my. No, you're right. That's exactly my worry.
I think you change the whole dynamic of everything. Yeah. And they do give us sacks.
Yeah, no,
you
I
just gotta contain them. As long as you contain them, I think we're good. I don't worry about our rankings. I think if we play again, this is my personal opinion. I think you have Malik Jackson start, be your anchor, and you put Graham at the on the weak side, and then you have Hargraves and Cox in the middle. Don't let them run. Keep them outside. Keep them contained, and you just constantly run. You keep that rotation going. I think we have a decent shot. You just
all right. Here's one of my worries. Here's one of my worries. DuVernay. On an end around, Devin Duvernay. On an end around.
This is where I say the safeties make a difference, though, because if you had those safeties there, I think with the versatility you have with both with Parks as well as Mills, that versatility, and these are guys who aren't afraid to hit.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I got to tell you, D, I love you, man. You're fantastic. I want more of you. Okay.
No problem.
All right, buddy. Take it easy. All right. So the Asher Chocolates is the oldest chocolate company, family-owned chocolate company in the country.
Okay.
And they're here. So that the pretzel they own, that they discovered the chocolate covered pretzel. Now, like Uncle Greg says, the pretzel as we know it, the hard pretzel, started in Lancaster, which makes sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, all the other companies, Snyder's, all these companies, they started making the Lancaster hard pretzel in America. So that's how, where it all comes from.
Okay.
And then the Asher chocolates put the chocolate on the pretzel.
Nice. Good work.
To make the great, it's the greatest thing ever, the chocolate covered pretzel.
Yeah, I love it. The little thin ones, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Delicious. Do you mess around with the white chocolate?
Nah.
Okay.
I'm not a big white chocolate
fan. I'm a big
fan.
Dark chocolate one seed for me, above milk.
Well, dark chocolate's good for you.
Well, yeah, but I also like the taste better.
Yeah. Dark chocolate and a good wine.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful.
That's a nice item.
I go dark chocolate above the milk chocolate, which a lot of people don't agree with.
Well, it's bitter. It's more bitter. The dark.
I like that.
The dark, the more cacao.
Yes.
the more bitter the chocolate. But I like that, too. Don't get me wrong. The milk chocolate is milk chocolate.
It's delicious. Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with the milk chocolate. But I feel you on the dark chocolate.
Yeah, I'm a dark chocolate
but
man.
But the chocolate, the milk chocolate and the pretzel.
Oh, delicious combination.
With the salt.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
because you got the salt and the chocolate. That goes, you ever have one of these, which is a great item, the sea salt chocolate bar?
Oh, yeah, fantastic. Now, I'll throw another one at you. And you might call me crazy, but it's the same theory. Have you ever been somewhere where they had one of those chocolate fountains?
Yes.
Always have like a Lay's or a Hers, just the plain chip, the original chip, the ruffle, and you dip it in the chocolate.
Potato chip?
Yes, it's fantastic.
I never had the chocolate
potato. Now, again, you're at a wedding where you're, you know, banged up a little bit, and it tastes fantastic.
I never had the chocolate potato chip. I got to be real with you.
Yeah, it's worth a shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. I never had the chocolate potato chip. The chocolate pretzel is the greatest thing ever.
Yes, it is. I'm a big fan of the chocolate pretzel.
You know, like that's a great one.
A lot of love for the frozen Reese's cup.
Yeah.
On the timeline.
You know, again, I don't get it.
A lot of hate for the Good and Plenty. And
oh my God.
And the Mike and Ike's.
The Good and Plenty.
Yeah, they're not
the
getting
good
much love.
Good and Plenty's horrible. That was the worst. Oh, I hate that Good and Plenty. It makes me angry.
And it looks all good. It's like purple and white, right? Like, it looks like medicine.
Oh my it's God. Gross. Yes. What a great call to Good and Plenty. Why would you have Good and Plenty?
I don't know.
Seriously. There's nothing worse than Good and Plenty.
Nah, it's terrible. There's one thing that I may say that's worse. And you were talking about your grandmom earlier with one of the callers always having the two bowls of candies out. My grandmom did the same thing. And one, which I never hated, the Werther's original. I always
loved the Werther's.
I always had a
thing. Yeah, my grandmother had the Werther's.
My mom, after, you know, communion doesn't taste good. Let's just be honest,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
My mom always had Werther's original in her purse.
Yeah.
So that after I took communion, she would give me the Werther's original because.
Yeah.
You know, communion, yeah. It doesn't taste good.
Yeah.
But my grandmom, so she either had those or she had, and I think there were more like Lithuanian candies. It was chocolate, but inside was the fake fruits. Like, the wrapper looks like a strawberry.
Yeah.
Right? But it's like the fake gelatinous stuff inside the chocolate.
Yeah, I don't like that.
You know, those cherries? Yeah,
the jellies.
Yeah, it's
it was the jellies.
Disgusting.
My grandmother did those too.
And they love them. My grandma,
the jellies.
God, it's disgusting.
Yeah, no good on the jellies. I agree with you.
Yeah, disgusting.
The jellies were gross.
Like, nothing was worse when you would get the big box of chocolates and you bit into the
horrible.
Fruit one.
Yeah, horrible. I hated the box of chocolates. Most of them were horrible.
Some of them were good.
Like the orange jelly. Yeah. See,
I have like an emotional thing. My uncle, who passed away years ago, used to get that for my grandma every year.
And we would root through it, right?
Yeah, so when he passed away, sort of took the reins as that was, gave that to my grandma every year. So like there were some of them, but same thing. You took a bite of some of them and you're like.
That's old school. The chocolate, the the sampler, like the Whitman sampler.
Whitman sampler.
That's old school.
Yeah, I get my grandma the big box where there's like 50 different kinds in there.
Right. That's old school.
In honor of my uncle.
There's
you
a
know?
Couple you like. You like the, you know, I would do the deal. I would deal with the ones with the nuts.
I liked it with the little cookie on the bottom, some of them.
Yeah.
Now, how do you feel about the Malo cups?
It's amazing you said that because my man Tommy on the text board goes Malo cups, and I don't get the Malo cup. Like,
all right.
The only cup that is worth a damn
is the Reese cup. Yeah, I agree with you. I don't mind the Malo cup, but somebody said it to respond to your tweet, that your three hates, he just put 1, 2, 3. Malo cup, Malo cup, Malo cup.
I can deal with it.
Like, wow, that's a lot of hate.
Yeah. The good and plenty, though, that makes you get physical.
Yes.
That's a physical. How about my man? I'm looking at it on Instagram. My man Pierre's Chocolates just started following us.
All right.
Out of New Hope. I bet you this guy's got great chocolates. Yeah. Since 1986, family-owned, traditional, nostalgic, fair trade chocolates featuring old-school Swiss recipes. That's nice. I bet you that's a good chocolate joint. Since 1986. I agree. I agree with you, bro. The Malo cup, no good. The Good and Plenty, again, might be the all-time worst.
Yeah, Good and Plenty.
There's nothing worse
than the Circus peanut?
Yes, I go Good and Plenty, worse than the peanut.
Good.
I agree. We say that.
I'm out on Good and Plenty.
Horrible.
Has anyone said I'm in on Good and Plenty ever?
I haven't found anybody. No one likes the Good and Plenty. That's the way. How could they even make the Good and Plenty? And I agree with you. Some people like the Mike and Ike.
Yeah.
They all taste the same, the Mike and Ike.
See, now here's the question. Because remember, the morning show that I did, have you ever heard of somebody who doesn't like pizza? The follow-up should be, have you ever heard of somebody that actually likes the Good and Plenty?
You know who liked Good and Plenty and Mike and Ike's? The kids who used to flip their eyelids inside out in grade school.
Oh, you mean the freaks?
Oh, those kids.
Those kids liked the Mike and Ike's and the Good and Plenty.
I hated those kids that would turn their eyes. Yes, to turn their eyelashes inside and out. Dude, what are you doing, man? I don't want to see that.
They liked Mike and Ike's.
You're right, Nat. How about the Asher chocolate? You like the Asher chocolate?
Love an Asher chocolate.
That's all right. All right. It's Tyrone's got to be Tyrone. You like the chocolates? Is he down with that? He's be somebody who would say he don't like it.
He's not familiar with the Asher chocolate
or whatever. The chocolate covered pretzel. You like the chocolate covered pretzel?
You never had a chocolate covered pretzel?
See, that doesn't surprise.
He doesn't like them.
I knew it. He's so crazy. I knew. How could you not like the chocolate covered pretzel? That's insane, Ty. Come on.
Perfect combination of sweet and salty.
It is. That's right. Only a psycho would not like the chocolate covered pretzel. But let's talk about
I got an all time hate for me.
Oh, yeah.
Just texted
all right,
me.
All right. Well, we'll get it. It's funny. Little screw around day while we're talking birds. Let's look at the Parks app, shall we? Here we go. The Parks app. Right now, Eagles, Ravens, yeah, still 1-10, -7.5 Baltimore. All right. Well, again, it'll be interesting to see. I'm curious to see the props. And the beauty of the props, the player props, they're a lot of fun. And you can actually do some damage with that. Check out all the props for each game, and Parks has them all. And you can have some fun with it. You turn like a dollar into like $100 off of a couple parlays. They got it right there, parkscasino.com/PA. The new users, if you sign up and create an account, you get a risk-free bet up to $500. You got to be 21. You got to be in Pennsylvania. A gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Eyes 1 o'clock across the Delaware Valley. Cuz Radio with Shunis, Sagan. Not fun. You know what's funny? I'm glad the audience somehow changed the tenor of this show today.
Yeah, it's a very doom and gloom day.
All right, so Ty Rhodes, this is great, right? So to start the show, I was in this mode of worry about COVID. All right? And so I started the show and I talked a lot about it. I mean, like the Falcons and then, of course, Saban. And then, you know, I saw the news, what's going on in Europe and, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, we're talking about it. And then we stumbled just, obviously, Eagles are always a part of the conversation. But then we stumbled on the chocolate, just kind of little things. And you know what? I realized something. People would rather talk about chocolate than the pandemic.
How do we even start? We somehow got into the circus peanut. But before that, how do we even start?
I don't know. I
Tyrone likes the circus peanut. Oh, there he is. I knew Tyrone and I were friends.
You like that?
Yeah, they're delicious.
You like that thing?
I'm going to bring something in for us tomorrow.
Gross. The circus peanut?
Ty, when you walk in tomorrow, there will be a bag of circus peanuts here waiting for you. I'm going to go to my local Acme.
You like the circus peanut, but you don't like a chocolate-covered pretzel.
Yeah, that's strange. He doesn't like the pretzel, period.
You don't like the pretzel? And you're a Philadelphian?
He likes the soft pretzel. He doesn't like the hard pretzel.
Right, but, you know, put chocolate on a pretzel, the salt, the pretzel.
Delicious.
Yeah, you don't like the pretzel? The hard pretzel?
He would do the chocolate-covered chip, though.
All right. All right, the chocolate-covered chip it is. I've never had that, and I'm a chip fan. But I can't imagine the chocolate-covered chip. How about the Postman says this? The chocolate-covered banana.
Oh, it's delicious.
Delicious, right?
Fantastic, yes.
So they would, there was a place called Willie's on 9th Street. And they had great sandwiches, like renowned sandwiches. And they would have the water ice, and they would also have their own chocolate-covered banana.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Pretty good, right?
Yeah, I'm in. You can cover really anything in chocolate. It's probably delicious.
I know, but like a homemade, hand-dipped.
Yeah, it's good.
Chocolate-covered banana.
Fantastic.
That's a fine item.
You know what you just did there?
What?
Well, you just did the show recap. And the show recap is brought to you by Dietz & Watson. Dietz & Watson and family-owned Heritage's dairy stores who make their hoagies with premium Dietz & Watson meats and cheeses. To find the area's best hoagies, visit DietzandWatson.com.
You know what? It's funny. I'll tell you how we got on there. It was the...
The Howie Wowie.
The Little Dave. You ready? Little Dave... Howie Wowie, comparing that to the Almond Joy.
Good work, Ed Dave. Thank you.
Right?
Dave's a good man.
Very good. Very good. My man Dom checks in, Pizza Dom on 9th Street.
Not Tasty Cake Dom.
Right. He gives you a little chocolate-covered bacon.
Oh, yeah, I've done it. It's good.
You've done the chocolate? Yeah, I've never had that.
I would rather just do regular bacon, but I've done the chocolate-covered
bacon. I mean, bacon, but the chocolate-covered bacon?
That's good, yeah.
All right.
Now, you want a trade proposal that you might like? I want to see if you like this.
Yeah, I've been pushing this off.
I know you have.
I'll tell you what. Let me hit some callers.
Okay.
All right? And then we'll do the Carson trade proposal.
No, it's not Carson.
Oh, it's not?
No, it's Ertz.
Oh, it's Ertz? All right. Well, give it to me in a couple minutes.
Okay.
All right?
We're not trading Carson.
Well, I don't know. The Bill Barnwell, who knows what he thinks? I don't know. He actually does a nice job.
Yeah.
Let me go to Nikki. Nikki, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Nikki!
Gentlemen, listen, since GM brought the word lexicon back, which should be used once a week, exceptional word lexicon, We have a new lexicon phrase that we heard from the Pope yesterday, which is, if a quarterback reads your mail, you need to change your address. Was that classic?
That was right? Great. Jaws said that.
Oh, that was Jaws. Did I say the Pope? Yeah, that's Jaws. Right. That's Jaws. You guys had Jaws on last night. Anyway, listen, Matt from, and listen, I'm trying to keep a positive spirit because the show turned positive, but Matt from Bethlehem yesterday had two great points. First of all was, tune is more death tones is never enough. So that's the first one. The second one is, he was talking about like GMing and things like that. And it's easy to say, hey, there's basement GMs now, and they scoff at us because they think the job's harder than it really is. But the thing is, right now, every single station has college games on. So like 10 years ago, ESPN had three ESPNs, so you only got like 7 or 8 games a week. Now you have 7 games every 3 hours. You have BTN, you have CBS All Access, you have CBS, ABC, you have all the ESPNs, you have all the FS1s. So there's tons of football game on. Plus, there's tons of evaluation tools now, and there's tons of tape, and there's tons of other aspects that you can actually look at tape and look at players. And so that's why I think not that we're doing better. We can now evaluate talent readily, because stuff is readily more available to us. And it's sad when you have those shows where you're just rattling off players and we're like, oh, how did they miss this guy? And this guy was 4 picks before.
I know.
This guy was 9 picks before. These two guys were both in the 7th round, but you picked, a fireman and a bus driver, And then the story you talked to, was it D that you talked to about, the wide receiver from the Jets that was a Temple.
Yes.
And we picked, two Robbie guys in Anderson. That round. Yes. Robbie Anderson, exactly. Yeah. And supposedly the coach went to the other coach and said, hey, take a look at this guy. And Howie's response is, well, steer him our way when it comes to free agency. Dude, really? Why can't you get him the 7th round? Why can't you get him the last round? Or you jump on him right away. It's just frustrating. And speaking of uncovering gems, look, Collins Colangelo that you brought up yesterday, he's never going to ungem a player that's not in Florence via Vienna or Bologna. Like you were talking about the Toronto guy. What's his name? From the same town as
Siakam.
Yeah. He was never going to uncover Siakam. Because he's not going there. He's going to,
Europe. Yeah. No.
He's not in a European city, major city. He's not going there.
Yeah. But both Hickey and Colangelo, all they did was go abroad. Like, listen, because if I was a GM, man, I was a scout, I'd be all over Europe. Or I would be in Africa, all over Europe. I'd be looking under every, I'd be looking in every nook and cranny of those areas, to find ballers.
Yeah. Look, if you want to, if you want to spend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday in Florence, that's fine. But
right.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, like hit the road, Jack.
Yes.
hit the road.
Yes.
Seriously. It's just sad, man.
Yeah,
Bobby Wilder was great yesterday.
He was fantastic, wasn't he?
Yeah, I was like, he was such a Philadelphia guy. He was like, oh, I'm not getting in front of this freight train. Like he knew right away. He's like, I'm off. I don't need to call you today. That was hilarious, man. And all right, let's see. I don't know. Great. We'll talk Ravens tomorrow. Peace, brother.
Peace. We'll talk Ravens tomorrow. All right, I can dig it, Vince. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic, Vince.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. It's funny, getting off on the candy thing. I thought people got all bent out of shape over which was their favorite cheesesteak. I think the candy's taking it to another level. But I was thinking, if you tried the Italian bocces, like the Italian kisses. It's like a dark chocolate covered.
Is that with the
hazelnut?
Yes.
A dark chocolate over a hazelnut.
Yes. I know the bocce. Yes.
Yeah,
that's a good item. I'll tell you the one thing I don't like, though, the Toblerone.
Oh, Toblerone. Yeah, that, yeah.
I don't like that.
Yeah, I know. It's almost like pulling teeth in a way trying to eat that.
Yeah, it's horrible. The problem with the Italian candies, and I'm proud of my heritage, and they make great food. The problem with the Italian candies and sweets is that they're not really sweet.
Yeah, there's kind of a bitterness in some of the cookies. Yeah.
Like the Italian cookies are not, it's not a great cookie.
Yeah. But it's funny, I keep thinking when you brought up the Good and Plenty, man, oh man, that make me retch. Like it was like the Choo Choo Charlie commercial. I don't know if you remember that. For Good and Plenty.
Yes! Like Choo Choo Charlie! Yes!
Yeah, it was brutal.
Yes.
But real quick on the Eagles, and I'm saying this because now that they're allowing fans in here, I don't know if this would seem controversial, but remember, you know, when Kobe, obviously being the Eagles fan that he was, he did a video of him reciting the Eagles song, fight song, like just word for word. He would say,
"Oh yeah,
fly Eagles, fly."
Yeah,
you know, it almost had like a haunting quality to it. I was wondering, you think that would be appropriate enough to play like before the game with fans in there? Like, how do you think like people would react to that? Like, would it be like too dark or something? Or would
I think it would be great. I think it would be inspirational. Yeah, I'm with you. I think it would be fantastic.
Yeah, like I said, he literally just recites the whole word, and he says "E." Like he just.
Can you get Tunis? Can you play that Tunis? Get that Kobe Eagles thing, and we'll play it. And then, I think it would be great.
Yeah. So.
No, that's a great idea, Ben.
But
great idea, buddy.
Yeah. So hopefully, praying for a miracle, I guess, for Sunday, and they don't embarrass themselves. But
I don't think it's a route. I don't think so. I mean, they could lose by 10, but I don't think, and not cover or whatever, but I don't think they get pasted.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it's a, 38-7 piece. I don't think it's anything like that. We'll see. Thank you, man. I mean, I don't get that sense. You get that sense, Andrew?
What, a blowout?
Yeah.
No, because I actually think the offense is moving a little bit, which is good. Now, bad news for practice, Lane Johnson not out there again.
Yeah.
Matt Pryor not out there again. Now, I'm not saying Matt Pryor's any good, but you're now on like your fourth string guard at this point.
Yep.
Darius Slay, however, good news, is back. He had a concussion.
Well, I expect him. I need him. And I need him every week to play. Give me the trade.
Oh, you want the Bill Barnwell. Okay.
Yeah.
Eagles and Cardinals, a potential trade. The Cardinals would receive Zach Ertz and a sixth-round pick for the 2022 NFL draft. The Eagles, in return, would get Temple May, Temple Proud, linebacker Hassan Reddick, and a 2022 third-round pick. Now, I like Hassan Reddick. They've been talking about shipping him out of Arizona since he got there.
Yeah.
Which I don't know why.
It's not bad. It's kind of a nothing deal, though.
Well, you get Ertz's money off the books. And then you get Reddick's far better linebacker than anyone you have right now.
Yeah.
And then you get a third-round pick, which, we were saying earlier, we don't know if Ertz gets you a third-round pick. So the bigger piece of that deal might be just getting a third-round pick in return.
I can't see them doing that.
No?
I can't, but I don't know. What's Reddick's contract?
I'll pull that up for you in a second. There was one other trade that he mentioned, and I'm sure Eagles fans would like this. Safety Bradley McDougal from the New York Jets in return. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and a seventh-round pick.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Did you do that? You get a safety.
In a second.
And you get rid of Whiteside.
In a second. In a heartbeat. Boy, those Jets. They're horrible, aren't they?
Yeah, they're really bad. They are really bad. Hassan Reddick's contract, pulling it up for you right now. Four-year deal. What's the... Last year was deal, so that's part of it.
Oh, yeah, all right.
Signed a four-year deal, 13 million. It was his rookie contract.
I'll take a look at him, see what he's got. Depending if I want to move forward.
$4 million cap hit.
Yeah, all right. Andrew, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Andrew?
Hey, Tommy, you got it all wrong. I mean, Anthony, you got it all wrong about the Good and Plenty. It shouldn't be considered at the bottom of the candy stack. It really needs to be placed at the top with the beloved chocolate pretzel. And here's why. I did a study a few years back about what scents, food scents, turn women on the most. And the four that rose to the top were the smell of the cucumber. I don't know why.
the smell of baby powder. Now, that turns my wife off because we had four kids, and anything that reminds her of childhood is off limits. The black truffle.
Yes,
we're actually searched for by the pigs.
Yes.
Female pigs, because of the male pheromone smell. So the number one thing, and this is the reason why they turn women on, is because they mimic the male pheromone smell. But number one at the top of the list was the Good and Plenty.
Wow.
What? And so consider
good as
a secret weapon, not as your foe.
You're a genius, Andrew. Oh, my God. I didn't know this. So
I've been married 21 years, and when my wife pushes back, I break out a box of Good and Plenty, and we're good to go.
Now, does she like them?
No, not really. And she doesn't like the smell of baby powder, and she doesn't like truffle either. So I don't know if it's scientific or not, but they said it was, and it seems to work. So,
oh, my God. That's genius.
I've never heard that. It's candy you get in Chinatown after the meal. That's always stale and horrible.
But you know what's funny? You mentioned you figured there has to be a reason why they would make the Good and Plenty.
Maybe that's it.
Right? Because obviously, I haven't encountered. Do you know one person that likes Good and Plenty?
No, I really don't, actually. I don't.
I know. I don't know any. So that could be it. The black truffle, baby powder is fascinating.
Smell the cucumber. And the cucumber. And the licorice.
Yeah. Well, there you go. And the cucumber.
I got a point about the game this week.
Yes.
Got a point about the game this week. I actually feel really good about the Eagles' chances. I think Martindale's going to bring a lot of heat, a lot of pressure, and the middle should open up a little bit, and my boy Travis can come across the middle. We work the edges. I think Lamar, he's hurting. He only had 3 yards rushing last week. I think it's low-scoring game, but the Eagles can beat him 20-17. That's my thought.
I like it, man. I do. Here you go, Andrew. How about that? I'm ready. I love it, man.
I got my Good and Plenty ready and my Eagles game for a win.
There you go. So, good luck, brother. Right. You're scoring, man. You're going to score more than J.J. or Sega Whiteside.
That's not hard.
I know.
Travis has more catches than he does already in his career, I think.
That's right. That's good stuff. Way to go, right, Andrew. Thanks, buddy.
So that's why the Good and Plenty is still in business.
Makes sense. Do you like the Good and Plenty, Nat?
No.
What about the black truffle?
No.
Baby powder?
Mm-mm.
Cucumbers?
No.
0-4?
No, I do truffle.
Okay.
And cucumbers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does it, you know, you heard what Andrew said.
No, what
does
he
it
said?
Work
Not
on
me,
women?
The caller. He said that there are four.
It works on women.
Yeah.
The four scents.
Apparently Good and Plenty gets women going, as well as the scent of a cucumber and baby powder and black truffle.
I don't know about gets it going. But I enjoy
in the right mood.
No, I'm going to advise against for anybody who's listening.
All right. Well, listen, a whole bunch of guys are about to go buy some Good and Plenty.
No. Hey, honey, I just went to the store. I got some Good and Plenty.
I got some Good and Plenty. Wait, I was just going to say something, but it's got
I'll
your
give
good,
you
and,
some good
got
and
your
plenty.
Good and Plenty right here.
Oh, that's great.
Scott Wilhelm on Twitter says he likes the Good and Plenty. He says he polishes off a whole box every time.
Really?
So Scott Wilhelm, you know, I know I'm someone who can't really speak when it comes to food.
Yeah, you're free.
I can't trust Scott Wilhelm.
All right. 610-632-0975 is how you join us. It's Cuz Radio with the Chewness as we hang out. Got a couple open lines. You want to, we've been busy obviously all day, but you want to chime in some fun and some Eagles, and there's some Eagle positivity. I like it. Hey, life's coming at us hard these days. We go 100 miles an hour, stressed out, exhausted, run down, dehydrated, headaches, body aches, and we're working overtime not to get sick, right? Well, here's the deal. I got a positive way to recharge and refuel. Exceva Vitamin Infusion Therapy. What a game changer it's been for me. Flooding your body with the vitamins and nutrients, amino acids, and hydration you need to boost your immune system, to elevate your mood, to elevate your energy level, replenish your reserves. Exceva. I got to get you to see even that. They have the beauty packets of the IV.
Oh, for sure.
They have the hydration. They have the vitamin C, all the stuff. So it's incredible. It's all nutrients, and it's administered by a board-certified nurse at one of Xceva's modern infusion suites. You can relax in a massage chair, right? You got a flat screen. Perfect. This is how I recharge. And I brought my wife. She's like, I got to go back. To learn more about Xceva's vitamin therapies, visit Xceva.com. That's AXIVA.com. Xceva, replenish, recharge, relief.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
1:31. Oh, here we go.
Lexicon.
How about VG gives you, you ready? The spearmint jellies. My grandmother had these in a candy dish. They were the jelly leaves that were spearmint.
I never heard of any jelly leaves.
You ever heard of those?
I've had the mint, that like the chalky stuff that melts.
Chalky stuff that melts.
Jamie Frankel has her in her office all the time. It looks like a...
Oh, the wafers?
I like those things.
No!
Yeah, you know,
Jamie's got those?
Yeah. She bought another box just for me, she told me once.
Jamie's head of our sales.
Yeah, I pop in her office.
They're like chalky...
Yeah, they melt in your mouth. It's good.
The Necco wafers.
No, but it's not a Necco wafer. It's like, it looks like the hard mint, but it's chalky. It tastes fine.
I don't know. That's not the Necco wafer. The wafer, they're horrible. I'd rather eat communion wafers than the Necco wafers.
We'll stop by after the show, see if he still has some.
All right. You're weird, though. You like Milk Duds?
Baby Ruth, Dots.
Dots. That's Dots. Is just,
Circus Peanut.
Dots is not even.
Dots is good.
No, the Circus Peanuts and the Dots. I mean, that's not even food. Like,
it's not food.
They don't make those in the kitchen. They make those in a factory.
Yes.
No, the leaves, the spearmint jelly leaves. My grandma used to have these.
Yeah?
Yeah. You don't even know these?
Mm-mm.
It's like, imagine like a jelly, right?
Yeah.
With the sugar on the outside. It's green. It's spearmint color.
Okay.
The spearmint jellies. You never heard of the spearmint jellies?
No.
My grandma, she would shake. Listen, the candy dish was a big deal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But she'd rotate it. Christmas time, she had the candy canes.
Oh, of course. Yep.
Right? She would have the candy canes in one. She would have the Hershey Kisses in the red and the green.
The red and green. Oh, it always makes me happy.
Right?
Hershey. All right, the Hershey Kiss commercial. You know what I'm talking about? Where the Hershey Kisses make they play Jingle Bells or something.
Yeah, I like that.
Makes me smile every time.
Listen, it's all in the marketing because those colors. It's the Starbucks cup.
Yes.
People are freaking out over Starbucks cup. And I do the same thing. I like it. And I do like, it's the same thing. Now, I
Tastes
love
better.
October is the greatest month. I love October. My two favorite months are, what period of times in the year are October, then the holidays, and then like May.
Okay. Yeah, I love May.
Like hot.
Beginning of summer. Yeah.
First time. And then summertime. I love summertime. But I love October. I love the whole thing about October. Fall, autumn, you know. I don't mind the chill. It's not too cold. And
it's the beginning of the decoration season, too.
Yes. I love the smell of the burning leaves. Yes. It's a nice smell, right? That's a good smell. And I like the look of autumn, like the pumpkin. Listen, I hate the pumpkin. All right. I don't like to drink anything pumpkin.
I don't like to drink. You like the pumpkin pie?
No, never.
I make a pumpkin pie every year. I'll bring you some of this.
Nah.
It's a pumpkin pie chocolate chip cheesecake. I make it every year.
You make it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't do
I'll bring pumpkin. You a slice. You'll say it's the best thing you've ever had.
I skeeved the pumpkin. I don't like
pumpkin. That's delicious.
And the pumpkin coffee, the pumpkin beer. All that stuff. I don't like it. I don't like it. But I like the way it looks. And I like the harvest thing. You know, they always give you like a harvest and scarecrow and all these autumnal kind of things.
Little corn stalks.
Yeah, I like the way it looks. You know, they have the corn that's like
different colors.
Dried out, whatever. All right.
The beginning of decoration season.
Yeah, I like that. I do. I like all that. I'm a Halloween freak. I love the Halloween stuff. We're going to do a whole week of Halloween. Nice. I love it.
The candy topic will come back up, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah. But I like that piece of it. Like, that's why I like October. I don't like to eat that stuff. I like the way it's comforting. Same thing with the holidays and the red and the green.
Your favorite sports playing in football. You have October baseball.
Yes.
And normally, correct, in a normal world, it's, you know, basketball is right around the corner.
Yes.
Isn't that weird? We're not going to have a Halloween tip-off?
Yeah.
Think about that. We usually get that last week of October.
So we're looking at, somebody reported January 18th.
So now it's mid-January. Remember, a couple of weeks ago, it was back to Christmas.
And I got to look at a buddy of mine who's in the league. He said, looks like, where is he at? He says, it looks like, how about this? Between mid-January and mid-February, that's the startup. Full season.
82 games?
Yep.
Okay.
Full season, mid-Jan to mid-Feb is when it'll start.
Okay. Well, speaking of basketball, I forgot to bring this up to you earlier. Now, you know, we're starting to hit the silly season where everybody's going to be, you know, in on every single player. One piece of note, Anthony Davis looks like he's going to opt out of his final year, but he will re-sign with the Lakers, so he's probably going to get some huge contract. But from Shams, Sharania, the Heat are going to be, quote, all in on Giannis Antetokounmpo. Really? You think there's any run there? Giannis to the Heat?
Giannis to the Heat?
I didn't even think about that. Could you imagine?
Oh, my God. Giannis and Jimmy?
There's your two big contracts.
Giannis and buckets?
And then they have all the three-point shooters around them.
Oh, my God. That's a super team.
I mean, Bam doesn't turn out to be a max contract player, I don't think, right? So you got the two big contracts with Jimmy and Giannis. And then you got Duncan Robinson shooting threes with him.
Wow. Wow.
Something to pay attention to this offseason.
That's a scary thought.
Uh-huh.
Scary. Let's go to Danny. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Danny?
Cuz, Junis, good day.
Good day, Danny.
Give me a nice Andy's Mint.
An Andy's Mint?
What? Yeah, did anyone ever say that? The little green wrapper. Someone say that one yet?
No. Oh, Andy's. Yes. That's a great item. I love it. It's the Junis. You know the Andy's. A-N-D-E-S. It's the green wrapper with the chocolate, real thin, almost wafer-like.
Oh, yeah, they're delicious.
With the chocolate and the mint. Oh, Danny, that's a great item.
Yeah, I agree. That chocolate-covered bacon be slapping, too, cuz.
Yes.
Without a doubt. But listen, cuz, I was the last one on yesterday, and like I said, I always, every time I call, I lament the loss of Malcolm Jenkins. It got me thinking after I got off the phone with you yesterday. And the Eagles really haven't had this for a while, really since D-Dawg. But we really haven't had like a tax collector in that defensive backfield for a while. Because Malcolm Jenkins can do that sometimes. You know, he has, you know, Brandon Cooks in the Super Bowl. But
right.
You don't got anyone coming over the middle paying the tax.
No.
Tax free right over the middle, or they break through the line if there's a handoff and you get to the second level. You know, who's paying the fee?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, think about it. They don't have that in the box guy that you know is great run support. Now, you know, partly I think they think the game is almost past that. But what happens is everything's cyclical, right? So now all of a sudden, a lot of teams have two backs and they can take advantage of that. I agree, man. I'd love to see that.
The game is changing because, you know, the rules are leaning a lot more towards offense lately. But, you know, it's still football, though, cuz. It's still football.
I agree. No, I think you're right on, brother. Right on, Danny.
And can I say something to Howie Roseman real quick? I know he's listening. I mean, he should be. I mean, if anything, he should have listened to that D-Gun segment. That would have helped him out a lot. Howie, don't break the bank on Zach Ertz, please. Don't do it, you know. And Howie, get me a tax collector, please.
I like the tax collector. That's good. I like that a lot. That's good stuff, Danny. Two for two, brother. Thank you. Be safe, my man. Be safe. Dude, when you were talking about the wafers, were you meaning like the sugar wafers?
Hold on. Let me see exactly.
Like the Tasty Cake has the sugar wafers?
No.
But you got when you were like in first grade, you would bring them to school? Those wafers?
No, hold on. Let me try to see exactly what they were.
Because
Jamie Frankel had. And they look like the typical white and red, like the round ones, but they're chalky. They're not the hard candy.
I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. I can't figure it out.
Give me a minute.
Joe, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Joe.
Yo, Ant.
What's going on, Joey?
Long time listener. Love hearing you guys enjoying the show, too. And I would agree with the lack of a tax collector in the middle. I really think we disrespect the linebacking position.
Yes.
And we just need that big athlete. And I'd love to see Bradley or someone in there that can really set the tone, because I love us up front, and I just think we're missing there big time. So
you're right on, man. You're right on.
And in terms of October, what I love about October is the football weather when it gets like 35, 40 degrees, and it's still, if you're out there playing, it doesn't feel cold, you know. And I love the baseball now, and we are so far away
from Philly.
I mean, you watch this, you look at all these guys bringing heat and hitting corners, and we're like, man, we got a long way to go.
Yeah, you know, you're so right, and I look at it, and I want to believe so badly that they're close, but I just can't figure it out. Like, you know, again, if Howard can be a legitimate three, you like the rotation, right?
Yeah.
And you got to bring in arms for the bullpen, which we know about.
Yeah.
But you're still, man, I still think there's holes in the outfield, too.
I don't want to go there. I'll take up all my minutes. Oh, yeah. But, hey, I love the good and plenty.
You do?
I love the good and plenty. I'm not quite sure which I like better, the red or the white. And I guess that's going to be a lifelong quest of mine. But I enjoy them. And I remember the old jingle that they used to have. In fact, I could sing that if you'd like me to.
Yeah, do it.
Once upon a time, there was an engineer. Choo-choo Charlie was his name, we hear. He had an engine and he sure had fun. Eating good and plenty candies to make his train run. Charlie says...
Love my good and plenty, Charlie says.
There you go.
The bell, Charlie says. Love my good and plenty.
Oh, my God, that's awesome.
It's all about marketing, buddy. It's all about marketing.
Oh, Joe, you're the best. That was fantastic.
I love its aphrodisiac qualities now, too. So,
yeah, how about that, man?
Yeah, man.
You got your lady. She's already into the good and plenty, man.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Good stuff, Joey. Take it easy, bud. How about that? Good pull by you, too.
I had it ready just in case somebody wanted to sing it.
Right on, too.
Charlie says.
I don't know what's worse, the candy or the song. But the mint puffs candy.
Huh?
I just called Jamie Frankel. I said, what are those mints? She said, I still have them. You want to come down?
She's got them?
Yeah, she still has them.
All right, I'm curious.
It's just mints, but instead of hard candy, it's like chalky and it melts in your mouth.
Chalky? You're losing me with the chalkiness.
I just don't know how to explain it. It's chalky, but it's still mint. It's a little sweet.
I don't know. I'm cool with the mint because I'm a gum chewer.
Yeah, it basically, if I ever had lunch here, which I normally don't, but if I ever had lunch here, I would then stop by and grab a mint.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Jam in the tub.
Like in the diner?
Yes. Yes.
The diner mint.
Yes. It's not the hard stuff.
Right. And it just, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, the diner mint. Yeah.
I'm in on that.
Listen, I'm down with the diner mint. All right.
That's probably like if you go to a fancy hotel, don't they put them on the, I don't know. Don't they put them on the pillow?
Yes, yes.
Yes, those hotels.
My grandmother had that too.
Yeah, good.
A lot of the year was spent with the mint type of item.
Yes,
and the diner mint would be on there too.
Of
yeah,
of course.
Yeah, wow, that's a good call by you. The diner mint. Now, here's the thing, though: you can't go diner mint old school now, right? Like the tub, they got to be individually wrapped. No,
well, they're all individually wrapped.
Back in the day, dude.
Oh, they were just there.
Dude.
That's like, gross.
Think about how nasty it is now.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Like, I don't know. My mother would say, "What? No, don't take that." They had the mint puffs, but with, like, jellies inside of it. It was, like, flavor, whatever it was. And they would leave it out.
When's the last time you were at a bar?
It was like, well, my wife said the same thing about the, because she's, like, a skeeve everything.
Right.
And she goes, you can't eat anything that was on the ball, like communal peanuts. And
well, that's when's last time you saw that?
I don't know. I don't know.
Last time I saw that was when I was in France. They had the wasabi peas, which are fantastic.
Yes.
That's the last time I've seen a communal at the bar kind of bowl.
Yeah, but they do it. They change the, you got to wash the bowl, though. You need a new bowl. If it's just you.
No, I was just sitting there.
Oh, it wasn't like they just, because in Italy, they'll give you
an individual bowl,
a snack. Like they'll give you that little snack.
No, it's just a big bowl,
and it's like it's yours.
Yeah, my man, we're sharing wasabi peanuts.
Yeah, see, you can't. You don't know what happened to that guy.
I don't.
That guy goes to the bathroom. You don't want to know. He doesn't. Well, God forbid.
That's a good point.
That's what like my wife will say that. She said, "It's it's skeevy."
Yeah. You shouldn't. Yeah, you're right.
Skeeve, skeeve, skeeve.
Somebody also tweeted another candy that's only around because people buy them for the holidays. The candy heart. Disgusting.
Yes.
They're disgusting.
They are chalky as well.
But it's like
bad
worse.
Chalk.
Yeah,
man.
It's bad chalk. It's basically street chalk.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah,
it's sidewalk chalk.
Yeah, you could use the candy heart, the Valentine's Day candy hearts, to write your name on the sidewalk.
Yes.
Yes.
You wouldn't know the difference if you accidentally ate the actual chalk.
Yes. Yes.
But people buy them because, it's holidays. My mom admits to it. She goes, she only buys them. Nobody eats them.
Yeah.
She buys them because it's Valentine's Day.
Right, right.
Just be mine on it.
Yes, 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 yes. Jason, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jason.
Hey, what's up, cuz?
What's happening, Jace?
Oh, not too much. Just want to call and talk about the Birds for a little bit.
Yeah? What do you think? You got a feeling or what? You're down there.
It's just ever since we won the Super Bowl, our draft has just been terrible. And Howie seems to think that taking the obvious pick is not the best idea. He thinks he has to prove that he's the smartest guy in the room. And Doug, with his approach to his press conferences, is ridiculous. I know he's upset and frustrated, but telling a reporter how to ask questions, stuff like that, is just, he just looks like he's lost out there.
He does. He gets irritated when he gets called on certain things.
Yeah, yeah. And I think Carson is a great quarterback, but they need to let him play like Carson plays and stop trying to fit him into a certain mold. Well, should have known when he drafted.
I mean, the problem is that, you make a decision on what your offense is going to look like by how you have your team built, right?
Yeah.
And, how many times have we talked about wide receivers? But I've always made the point about Carson. I can't accurately judge him until he's throwing the competent wide receivers.
Yeah. If Jeffrey Lurie is the one who made that JJ pick,
hopefully he is the one that made it. So that way he realizes how little he knows and he should stop making picks.
Yeah, I heard that was the case.
Yeah, it seems like the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing up there.
Well, you know, what are they saying down there with the Ravens?
My wife and her parents, they're big Ravens fans, so they're coming up to watch the game with us, so that ought to be pretty brutal.
Yeah, that's not going to be fun. That's not fun, man. That's not going to be fun. Well, hang in there, all right, my man? And, you know, you never know. Maybe the birds shock the world, right?
Like, maybe.
Maybe they shock it. Hang in there, pal. That's the word. People are feeling good. We'll dive into it deeply tomorrow. And maybe there's the trap thing is the way to go. Maybe that's it. Maybe we could build the case. Ravens trap game. Well, anyway, Mikey Miss coming up next. Make sure you keep it right here, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you later on from Parks. Have a great day. Be careful. We'll see you then.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.